Call the meeting to order for Tuesday, November the 10th, 2015. Councillor Groves, if you can please do the O Canada and the prayer, please.
O Lord God, the Almighty, who gives strength to the weak, conscious that I can do nothing without your help, I pray for your gracious assistance in all my duties. I come to you, Lord, of all power and love, trusting completely that you will supply what is waiting in me, wanting in me. My God, may your grace be sufficient for me and always with me, that I may do everything faithfully and well through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Groves. We have a summary of addendum items to be added today. Added at the closed meeting is a verbal report from Chris Barnett, partner of DLA Piper, on advice to the subject solicitor, client privilege and litigation, legal advice regarding court action to quash region appeal decision to enter into facilitation. Also added correspondence from the Orangeville Railway Development Corporation, dated November 5th, 2015, Mayfield West Phase 2 Secondary Plan. Also, Loopstra Nixon, dated November 9th, 2015, proposed adoption of OPA 222 and the Mayfield West Phase Secondary Plan. Is there anything, any others to be added? If not, moved by Councillor Innes, second by Councillor Mizzapelli, that the agenda November 10th, 2015, council meeting be approved as amended. All in favor? Councillor Groves, sorry.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I'm not sure if this is the appropriate time to raise it on the approval of the agenda, but I know that we're dealing with the facilitation report today, and I know council had had some discussion. We had some discussion about the timing, what time of the day we would be dealing with it. I did have some folks raise some concerns about wanting to attend the session. So I'm wondering, and I don't know if this is the appropriate time to bring it to the evening session.
What time are you considering for an evening session? Because I do believe it's going to be near the end of the day when we do have this discussion, Councillor Groves. You know, we're up around 6 o'clock-ish, so...
I'm okay with 6-ish, 6, 6.30. I'm good with that.
Okay. Well, I think we can take a, if that's amenable to council, I think we can, call a recess till then if we're done council earlier. If that's, it's up to council. If there are, is anybody opposed to that suggestion? None? That'll be fine.
Okay. Is there any opportunity to put that on the website or something so that, can we do that or not?
Clerk? Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll get it tweeted out.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right. No further? All in favor? Carried. Is Is there any disclosure of pecuniary interest today?
I have attended a pecuniary interest on Mayfield West Phase 2. Okay. I plan to adjoining it, so it's I'll declare conflict.
Okay. Anybody else? No further? We'll now move on to move by Councillor Misapelli, second by Councillor Innes, that Council should go into closed session under Section 239 of the Municipal Act for the purpose of the confidential report, HR 2015-003, personal matters about identifiable individual, including municipal or local board employees, 2015 Town of Caledon Ward of Excellence. Confidential report from Chris Barnett, partner at DLA Piper. Advice on the subject, solicitor, client privilege and litigation. Legal advice regarding provincial facilitation. And the confidential verbal report from Chris Barnett, partner DLA Piper. Advice on is subject to solicitor, client privilege, litigation. Legal advice regarding court quash action to the region appeals decision to enter into facilitation. Okay, all in favor? So to everybody, just to let you know, we're going to go into camera, and we're going to be there at least, I think, just with what we're discussing, it's going to be a good hour. But if you have things to do, I just want to tell you that we'll try to get back here as quickly as possible, but we're going to be at least an hour, okay? Council's back in session. I apologize. And when I said an hour, I will never, ever, ever again put a time on it. My apologies. Going forward, we have no council workshop introduction, no introductions to new staff, so we'll now move on to delegations, and I will... Oh, sorry, I got one thing I got to do first. Move by Councillor Innes. Oh, she's not here. She's not here. We got to do the in-camera things first, and Councillor Innes is not here. Thank you. Moved by Councillor McClure, second by Councillor Misapelli, the confidential report, HR 2015-003, regarding personal matters about identifiable individuals, including municipal employees, 2015 Town of Caledon Award of Excellence, be received. And that staff proceed as directed. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor McClure, second by Councillor Shaughnessy, that the confidential verbal report from Chris Barnett, partner DLA Piper, advice on the subject solicitor client privilege and litigation, legal advice regarding provincial facilitation be received. All in favor? All in favor? Thank you. Moved by Councillor McClure, second by Councillor Misapelli, that the confidential verbal report from Chris Barnett, partner DLA Parper, regarding the advice and subject solicitor client privilege in litigation, legal advice regarding court action to quash Peel Region decision to enter into facilitation be received, and that staff proceed as directed. All in favor? Now we'll move on to delegations. I'll call on Vandy Hill, if you could please come forward.
I'm pretty loud. Hannah, you can start. Honorable Mayor Thompson, councillors, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Vandy Hill, one of a pair who was responsible for the development and launch of Bizarre Bazaar, short form BizBaz, this year. We were really excited about the results that we achieved at BizBaz this year. And I'll wait. Here we go. In its inaugural year, we had 3,000 people attending the event over the 2 days at Osprey Valley Golf and Country Club. We had 123 exhibitors there, artisans of all types. We were able to, through some market research, determine that 89% of the people who attended, who were surveyed, said that this was an excellent and good event. And the really nice one was the Tourism Regional Economic Impact Measure saw an impact of about $250,000 in the region. It was the inaugural year. We're excited that it happened. We wanted to bring into the region and continue to support culture of creativity in Caledon. We were able to bring artisans from the region and beyond, visitors from all over who could participate, take advantage of some of the suppliers and businesses that we have in the region, and at the end of the day walk away and say they learned something and had some fun, which I think we were successful in doing. But mostly we were successful because of the support and help from a lot of people, and the town of Caledon being a key one. And that's why I'm here today, is to thank the town of Caledon. And specifically, I'd like to mention a few people who were so supportive and helpful to us as we went through this process. I'd like to talk and or bring to your attention Aaron Berger from the Pan Am, who helped us make sure that we were in a position to be supported and leverage that activity. I'd like to thank Sandra Dolson, Laura Johnston. We had Sandra Sharp. I'll tell you why, all of these people in a little bit. Jillian Boyd, Brittany Lee with the promotions, and the mayor as well. You guys were all on my speed dial. Your enthusiasm, your creativity, being at the other end of the line when we needed help from as simple things as 2 days before trying to find garbage cans for the event. So we are very thankful for that. So when Gabrielle Fisher, who is an artist from the region, came and said, "Vandy, what do you think about me doing a bust of the mayor?" I said, "Absolutely, let's bust the mayor." So with that in mind, Gabrielle's going to take over, explain a little bit about the process she went through, and then all will be revealed. Gabrielle?
Hello. Now, that's also one of my pieces, the horse sculpture and the figure for our golf mini putt. And some of these images you're going to see have been pieces that I've created over a number of years, some of Robert Bateman, George Shavallo, Jake LaMotta, Ken Norton, all these people that I've worked with. And now we have the focus of Mayor Thompson. And this is the process it starts with. I use a product that is seaweed-based, so it's a cream. And you place that on the skin, but first of all, we have to get him in the right mode and, you know, please be in this very special place where it's nice and quiet and calm. Because the idea is to bring out his essence, his personality, and once the mold is made...
Look like Thomas the Tank.
I know... I know this seems a little daunting, and perhaps some of you would not do this as it looks claustrophobic, but... you get amazing results with it. That's the mold that's been revealed at this point. And from that is what I create the piece, the sculpture from. So with that in mind, we would like to say thank you so much. And this is a unique and original way of doing it, to present you with this gift. Now, having budget cuts, you're all familiar with. This is not a real bronze, but it looks like one. So I hope you will enjoy this and your family. And with time, it's going to be even more special. I'm sure of that. So I'll bring that to you.
This is the way to find 1,000 of you.
Carol, you're a heart of it. You want to go see that?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. I have to say, it was a lot of fun doing it. Anyway, thank you. And it was a lot of fun doing it, and I know Mayor Ryan was involved as well. And hopefully next year you can have a bigger and better. And it was fun being part of the process. I wasn't too sure what Sandra got me into, but it was a lot of fun. So thank you very much, and I really appreciate it. And I'm sure council's going to have some really good ideas on what they're going to do with this thing. Thank you. Mr. Webb. You and I have the same hairstyle as that bus behind me.
I always wanted to emulate you.
Right.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, thank you for letting us address you this afternoon. I see you have a very busy day. I'm here with Tony Volpentesta, who is the planning consultant for our client, who is Neola Investments. We are here, Mr. Mayor, to request that the draft plan approval of Neola's plan of subdivision be extended for an additional 3 years. Neola has assured me that it intends to clear the conditions and register the plan as quickly as it reasonably can if you decide to extend the draft approval. I think it's important to note, Mr. Mayor, that the draft plan conforms to the official plan. It also conforms to the zoning bylaw. One of the things that I thought you needed to know is that you, the council, can impose such conditions as, in your opinion, are reasonable at any time, both at the time of original draft plan approval and at any time prior to final approval for registration being given. Therefore, if there are changed environmental or engineering standards, you can impose new appropriate conditions at any time. In our submission, Mr. Mayor, there is no prejudice to the town if the conditions or the draft approval is extended, but there is a hardship to our client if it is not. The last thing I'll say, Mr. Mayor, is that it is important that you make a decision today. The draft approval lapses tomorrow. And if you don't deal with it today, then you can't deal with it later. If you have any questions, we'll be happy to try to answer.
Okay. Yes, I have two. Councilor Shaughnessy?
Yes, thank you. Do you know what studies were done back in 1984?
I know that there were traffic studies, environmental studies, planning report, all of the studies that are usually required before draft plan approval is given.
To 1984 standards?
Yes.
Thank you.
But I might point out, if you would let me, when the draft plan approval was extended in 2012, your staff asked that revisions be made to the draft plan, and that new conditions were imposed to bring the conditions up to the standards of that day. And you can do exactly the same thing today if you wish.
Okay. Thank you. Councillor Befford.
Yes, actually, my comments will be more appropriate when the report is brought forward. I'd like to thank Ron for coming forward, and I'll have my comments when that happens.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, if I can ask Council, Councillor DeBoer.
I guess my question is other than, what's the holdup? What is the actual holdup?
Why has it not been registered so far?
A number of times.
The current principal shareholder of the company is not a developer. His father was. And when I first got on this file, Mr. Mayor, it was in 1984. And I was brought in by the father, Remo Bandiera. He has since deceased. So our current client, has been dealing with estate matters and is dealing with the other duties that he has. But he does know how important it is to get on with it now and is determined to do it. One last thing. One of the consultants, and not Mr. Volpentesta, had let our client down. The intention was to clear the conditions last year and be ready to register, but because of that letdown, it didn't happen.
Okay. Any further questions? If not, then I will read the motion. Moved by Councillor Shaughnessy, second by Councillor Mizzapelli, that report DP 2015-096 regarding a request for draft approval extension. Neola Investments Limited, plan subdivision lot 3, concession 2, west half, Caledon, Ward 1 be received. At this point, there's no direction, okay? Just the receiving of the report. I just want Council to know that, all right? Councillor Befford.
First of all, clarification, Mr. Mayor. Even though we're receiving it in the report, it does clearly articulate that there not be an extension. So that's basically what we would be voting on if we did. I want to make that clear.
Yes.
I'm going to say at the outset that on the surface, I would agree that we should not extend this particular issue. It's been extended several times now. And I think when we talked about it as a council twice now in my career on council, it was just a matter of why don't we get this done? I don't think this is an issue that is really paramount to the people in Inglewood. They're inquisitive. They wonder why it hasn't been done. But I don't hear anybody saying, you know, that it's a matter of life and death. I guess there are two issues that I would like to have responded to by staff with respect to this before I vote. The one relates to water. My understanding is that since the original draft plan has been submitted, that the area on which the property sits is part of a large area of protected water source. And so I just wonder what effect that might have in terms of anything we do today if the region's got specific plans. And along with water is the wastewater. And I understand that the subdivision as it now sits will have 48 homes on septic. And yet there's a wastewater plant now in Inglewood that wasn't there when this first originated, albeit it hasn't worked very well. And I don't know what the region's plans are for whatever happens on that property. So that's another issue that we might want to take a look at. My biggest issue is this, and I want to clarify it in my mind before I vote. At the moment, there could be 48 homes with septics, and it would be a state-style subdivision. My understanding is that if we vote not to extend this today, that whoever comes forward, regardless of what they're going to put on that property, will have to adhere to the new guidelines of the Ontario government. And in my mind, that says that there would have to be a higher intensification of people. And in speaking to the to some people in Inglewood, that's not something that they would like to see. I can understand that. People who live in a small community and have already a state-style development all of a sudden wouldn't want one single chunk of it taken up with much higher density. So I guess my concern is, even though I wish something had happened, that there be some consideration that if we turn it down and we don't provide an extension, that what's going to happen is we're going to have an anomaly in that particular section. Now, maybe the water requirements will temper that. Maybe they wouldn't allow the kind of development that I think might happen if another development was applied for. So I guess if I could ask staff if they could respond to, first of all, what would the region's response be with respect to new development and water? Are they interested in hooking up to the sewage system or not? And secondly, am I correct that any new development, regardless of who is interested in the property, could mean an increased intensification of population?
Ms. Hall?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, to Councillor Bedford. In regards to the water, I know that we did receive an email from Mr. Schiller via Councillor Shaughnessy today, indicating that there is water available, and actually there is a water line that actually goes through this property up to the reservoir. So there is water available for this development. This development, when it did go through its major redesign, and I can't even remember how many years, and I'd have to ask Mr. Volpentessa. One of the things that was not of any interest to the developer at the time was that they did not want to hook up to the communal sewage system, and they wanted to go on septic. It was actually a very lengthy process to get that approved, and there are some very unique conditions in this draft approval to allow those 48 lots to be on a septic as part of the planning approvals. I have not even turned my mind to your last question. If it is lapsed and if there is another development that comes in, does it need to meet the intent of the growth plan? I would say that if a new development did come in and it was different than what is being proposed at this point in time, and they were using the policies of the growth plan, it would probably assist. We have been doing the intensification study here at the town. We've been looking at where intensification is potentially available. These lands would not have been considered at that point in time because there is a development application on them. But that would always be an opportunity that could arise. As to what it would be in the number and population is a whole other discussion in regards to those things that would have to be looked at.
So, Mary, just going back to the water, I just want to clarify. Would the region be interested, if everything fell into place, of adding it to the system that's already there?
Well, it was always to be, it was my understanding that these lands were going to be on municipal water.
For water, yes. For water. What about wastewater?
Wastewater, these lands were not to be on the wastewater system.
And the region still has that opinion?
Well, now what typically happens if we receive enough notice, which we did not in this case, we would have circulated this back out to get comments from those agencies in regards to this request for an extension. We did not have time to do that. So we do not have any formal comments back from the region in regards to that.
That's it for now, Mr. Mayor. I reserve the right to come back. I may have a motion, but I'll listen to the rest of the conversation.
Thank you. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you. I did talk to the region about wastewater, and they actually, in the email, they actually say that they're not considering putting this property on wastewater, and the wastewater disposal unit was never built to accommodate that. The new extension to the wastewater is actually to add a safeguard that if they have to take part of it offline, they still have the third side to allow the system to work. They also told me that seniors development being an institution was maybe a possibility, something they would consider. But I'm just trying to, when I was talking to Mark, he said the concern with that is that the Neola, never came to the table when they had the discussions with the region. And according to the last extension, they were supposed to meet with the town of Caledon and the region appeal to discuss it. The staff tried to get a hold of them, and they never did get a hold of them, so they held a meeting without them to discuss that. So the head of wastewater management says maybe the institutional part might be, but absolutely not for any houses. And the other part I understand, and I'll let staff clarify, is that anybody could bring forth to amend the low density that's sitting there. Gniola themselves could come forward and decide that they want a higher density on that property. But I'll let Mary, that's what I had when I was speaking to staff, but I'll just let her clarify that and reserve to come back.
Mr. Mayor, to Councillor Shaughnessy, she's absolutely correct. Any landowner at any time can make an application for a different density or proposal than what they already have approval for. So there is always that opportunity available. It does go through the planning process. The report comes back to council. Council has the final say on approving the recommendation or not. An appeal is also available to the Ontario Municipal Board. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. My questions of staff. How many conditions and what is there left to clear? Is there any idea?
Ms. Hall?
We have not received any documentation to even start clearing of conditions.
Okay. Well, that's interesting because I thought the delegation talked about that they were well on their way.
Let me confirm that with Mr. Ward. Mr. Ward, you have we received any clearance of anything? So he says that there was some material that was provided in 2009, but nothing has been advanced since then.
So it's really not a whole lot happens here. It's just kind of the only thing we ever see is somebody coming forward asking to be extended.
That's correct.
Yeah. As far as fees and fee schedules, are we on the 1984 fee schedule as we work through it?
No. So they did have to pay for the extension request, and they did do that. And if there is any development that happens, the fees would be related to the fee schedule of today.
Okay. And I gathered there was a meeting at the region. I just heard who said that somebody at the region, but the applicant didn't attend to it. So I'm just wondering, have you or have staff had meetings or attempted to have meetings with the applicant to try and keep things moving along?
I will have to ask Mr. Ward to answer that question. Thank you.
Eventually, you're going to have to get up.
Thank you.
Mr. Ward.
Through you, Mayor Thompson, to Councillor DeBoer. Page 3 of the staff report discusses this issue about a meeting that took place with town and region staff with respect to the possibility of developing some sort of seniors' residence on the property. My understanding is there were attempts made to contact the applicant and coordinate with them to attend that meeting as well. However, that never materialized. So therefore, town and region staff proceeded to meet accordingly and discuss that issue. And it was at that time that the region advised of the pending source water protection matters, and that at that time they advised that any revisions to the draft plan or any new proposals would have to come through the region's risk management office to take a look at that.
And I think it was the last time we were here 3 years ago, was there new conditions put on the application to reflect the new realities of the times? I kind of forget what the conversation was 3 years ago, but I do remember that we were talking that we weren't going down this road another time.
Yeah, that's correct. Again, through you, Mayor Thompson, to Councillor DeBoer. Through the 2012 extension request that did take place, there were some redline revisions made to the draft plan with respect to some changes to the, I believe it's described in the report briefly, changes to the road right-of-way, some of the lot configuration, as well the conditions were also amended to reflect current standards at that time. And I believe through looking at some of the resolutions passed by council at that meeting, there were some resolutions passed the effect that council would not entertain any further extensions and matters of that nature.
Yeah, and you know, this is a new council. We can make a decision based on what we have today. So we're not entitled, but I think that message was to be sent to future councils to recognize that we did give it a lot of thought then. So, okay, thank you.
Thank you. Maybe just wait here until I've done all the questions. Councillor Bedford?
Well, I'd like to go back to the issue of why the proponent would not meet with the region regarding a serious issue of water. We're getting strange vibrations here. Why did someone not go and meet with the region knowing full well that this has been going on and on and on? Can anyone answer that?
Yeah. I guess I'll have to ask Mr. Well, come on in forward, Mr. Webb. I know.
Mr. Mayor, with your permission.
The clerks.
I did see something in the staff report about that, so I made inquiries. Neither Mr. Volpentesta nor Mr. Bandiera were invited to a meeting at the region. So I don't know who they were attempting to invite, but it wasn't either of the two that should have been.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else, Mr. Fisher?
No, not for the moment.
Thank you. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you. I'd just like to make a quick comment. In following this for the last couple of weeks, my residents would really like to see a public process, and a new application would bring forth a public process. It's been 32 years. A lot of things have changed. We have new policies that this property should be judged against, and I think a new process is in order, and I do agree with the staff report on that. So thank you.
Okay. Councillor Bedford?
Well, I said at the outset that I wanted to satisfy myself as to what was really going on here. My initial thought was that we should extend it and that we should allow this to proceed. But there are just too many unknowns. If it's been 30-some-odd years, and if the people require, you know, some method of understanding what's going to happen to their community, the whole issue of the adult-style community came up from the former mayor, who wanted to see a type of apartment building there for seniors. And that may be something that the people in the community would like to follow up on. I guess if we extended it, we wouldn't have that opportunity. We might or might not. So I had an open mind when I came in. I thought the answer was to extend, but I've listened, and I've got some questions, and I think they best be answered in a public forum. So I'm going to... I'm going to support the staff recommendation that we just simply not extend it, and that we proceed hopefully with someone else that will come forward, or this group will come forward with an application and a plan that will serve the people of Inglewood well.
Okay. I have no further questions, so I will call the vote. And it's just to receive the report as standing. Okay. All in favor? It's carried. It's unanimous. Thank you, Mr. Ward. Okay, I have one more move by Councillor Innes, second by Councillor Downey, that Council waive Section 8-2, the procedure bylaw, to permit a delegation to be heard by Glenn Schnarr and Associates, regarding the proposal of the official plan amendment 222, Mayfield West Secondary Plan Ward 2. Mr. Schnarr? I did. Oh. For this? Oh, sorry. Yeah, right. Hold on, Mr. Schnarr. All in favor? Yeah, I thought you got me. Okay. All right. Sorry.
Good afternoon, Your Worship, and members of council. In many ways, this is it's a very historic day in the town of Caledon, and for me, as the company representing the Mayfield West Phase 2 landowner groups, it is It's an honor and a pleasure to be here today. Some of you might know, but the planning process for what is now the Mayfield West Phase 2 secondary plan area started in October 2002 by way of a letter from our group indicating that a landowner group had been formed and we were interested in the community planning process. We have worked closely with the town. It's close to 14 years ago. In July of 2008, after a process that we affectionately referred to as the beauty contest, council, at which we finished second, and council directed staff to initiate a secondary plan for the Mayfield West Phase 2 area. At that point in time, the Mayfield West Phase 2 landowner group agreed to fund the town on a town-led planning process, and in that regard, the Mayfield West Phase 2 landowner group have funded $1.9 million since the start of the planning process in 2008, while we're working very closely with your staff. We're extremely happy to have the recommendation report for the secondary plan on the agenda at today's council meeting. We'd like to thank most recently Kathy Kurtz, but Hai Ching and Mary Hall for their hard work over the past month. And goes without saying, particularly, we'd like to thank Tim Manley, who has worked on the Mayfield West secondary plan and with her landowner group over several years to develop the secondary plan. Tim was a leader. He worked very hard, had a lot of insight, was very conciliatory, and we're very grateful that we had the opportunity to work with Tim, and we'll look forward to Tim returning to the town and once again working with Tim on the next steps in the planning process. This secondary plan will provide major transit service throughout the community. We'll provide high-speed internet access through fiber optic technology for all homes and businesses. And in total, the secondary plan will provide 7.2 acres of affordable housing. The majority of the landowners who have been involved in the Mayfield West Phase 2 secondary plan have entered into a financial agreement with the town, which provides for over $34 million in funds, land, and in capital works for the future Mayfield West Phase 2 community that would otherwise be ineligible through the current planning processes, including the Development Charges Act, the planning process, or sorry, the Planning Act and the growth plan. To highlight just a few of those, the landowner group's providing $400,000 contribution for a townwide marketing campaign. I mentioned 7.2 acres of land for affordable housing. We're providing the availability of land for commercial development within the first phase of the development, the availability of high-density residential land in the first phase of the development, the use of community-wide low-impact development techniques, high-speed fiber-optic cable to each dwelling unit, rendering Mayfield West Phase 2 an intelligent community, a commitment to work with town staff and the town of Caledon to provide community Wi-Fi on a best efforts basis, railway gates on the Spine Road, $700,000 for monitoring of existing natural heritage features, energy efficient buildings to a standard above the building code, dedication of at least 13.9 acres of land for greenway corridors that otherwise were potentially developable, 2 acres of land for a transit hub, $2 million for the construction of a transit hub facility, $1.9 million for the phase-in of transit operating costs, and over $5.4 million to cover the non-growth portion of roads under the development charge bylaw, and then a cash flow security of up to $10,000 for the construction of the recreation facility. Some of the landowners were not able to achieve satisfaction through the secondary plan process and through the financial agreement process with the town. However, we hope to find resolutions that are mutually satisfactory to the town and to our remaining clients in the landowner group. And I'd particularly like to mention Ben Ted, who were a founding member of the landowner group, an original landowner group member, and a very large landowner group member, who have continually expressed concerns regarding assurances for drainage of their lands. And I'd also particularly like to mention Fieldgate, who are longtime members of the landowner group and cost sharing group, who have concerns that the policies in the secondary plan as written provide no opportunity for development of their lands and require an official plan amendment before any of their lands can be further developed, including any commercial lands, employment lands, or residential lands, and they have concerns in that regard. I have met with some of you on council, particularly the mayor and certainly all of senior staff, and I've been assured, and again, particularly by the mayor, that it's the town's intention to work very closely with Ben Ted and Fieldgate to arrive at a mutually agreeable solution. And I know that that is the intention of both Ben Ted and Fieldgate, and personally, I'm confident that we'll be able to do it. It could have been a bigger milestone if everybody was here today, but Ben Ted and Fieldgate aren't. Conservatory is not, but certainly the majority of the lands are, and certainly the majority of the lands support the policies in the secondary plan and mark the milestone that would happen today with council approval of the secondary plan. So I'd be happy to answer any questions that council might have, but on behalf of the entire landowner group over this very long, complicated, extensive, and comprehensive process, on behalf of the landowner group, I'd like to thank the town for their commitment and particularly the town staff to arrive at a secondary plan for a community that will be like no other community that's ever been built in the town of Caledon and of which we can all be very proud of. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shar. Oh, I do have Councilor Befford.
Glenn, first of all, I'd like to thank you for your comments regarding Tim. And all I have to say is that, you know, coming on as a councillor two terms ago, Tim has led us as councillors through a process that has been so clear and so transparent and so open, and he's been so willing to, you know, make some changes, as you said, but also to be firm about what has to happen here. It's been incredible to watch it develop as it has, be even more incredible to watch actually some of the bricks and mortar get in the ground. But I really appreciate your comments as to what he's done. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Befford.
I would thank you, Mr. Schnarr. I really appreciate your delegation, and I can assure you that as the town's commitment, we're looking forward to working with Ben Ted and Fieldgate and whoever else is there to bring this together, no different than what we've done with Mayfield West 1. And I have to say, I think we've got a very good report, and I'll speak more to that further, but thank you very much for your leadership and guidance. And as councillor of the area, since this is the very beginning back in 2003, it's been a long journey. In some ways, I think it's been too long. But we're here now, and I got to thank everybody and the landowners for participating.
Thank you, Your Worship.
Okay, I will now read the motion moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor Innes, that the report DP 2015-090 regarding the proposed official plan amendment 222, the Mayfield West Secondary Plan, Ward 2, be received. And that required bylaw and act for the official plan amendment number 222 approval, and that the mayor and clerk be authorized to execute the financial development charge credit agreement between the town and the Mayfield West Phase 2 landowners. that the report DEP 2015-090 be forwarded to the Ontario Ministry of Municipal Affairs and Housing, Region of the Region Appeal, the City of Brampton, the Toronto Region Conservation Authority, the Credit Valley Conservation Authority, Peel District School Board, Dufferin-Peel District School Board, and the Orangeville Railway Development Corporation. Okay. There's no questions, but I do have a call for a recorded vote before we go there. All Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I don't have any questions. I just want to also say my thanks to Tim. I believe when we started this process, Mrs. Hall, we started with Heather Conifat, and we certainly remember the competition, all the hard work that's gone in, and certainly Tim has done an outstanding job in managing all of the landowners, working through the process. It was a very intense, very lengthy process, and this certainly is a good news for the town of Caledon. It generates a lot of revenues for the town. It's a great economic driver for the town, so it's nice to see that this is finally coming to fruition. And as Mr. Schnarr said, I'm sure that we are prepared to work with the other landowners, Mr. Fieldgate and the Conservatory Group and whoever else we need to work with to move things forward. So just wanted to say thank you to Tim, and please pass that on from all of us to him. Thank you.
Councillor DeBoer.
Yeah, I guess maybe it's a question to staff. We've got two letters here. One is from the City of Brampton. I guess they're wanting more time to work with to find a solution. I guess there's some commenting letters. I was trying to find it in here, but I can't seem to find it. But the letter from the City of Brampton asks for continued dialogue. Will staff accept direction to do that, or should that be included within the motion today?
As a result of the letter from the City of Brampton dated today, and I actually did have a phone call from a staff member there as well, they're just concerned that they didn't have enough time to really review the report and the new policies to make sure that all of their concerns were raised. It looks like one of their concerns is really about the Spine Road and where the Spine Road is going to come out to Huron Terrace Street, which is still an outstanding issue, and we do have site-specific policies to speak about that we still have to work through those. So in working through those matters, we will ensure that the City of Brampton is advised of that. And if they have to participate in anything, we'll make sure that they're a participant.
Okay. And we did just receive this morning, I think it was with the additional agenda, traffic peer review letter, and it talks about railway crossings, and this railway crossing kind of runs through the middle of the town, and I'm just wondering, with one of the things I think was always disappointing in the village of Bolton was that we never had a crossing, a pedestrian crossing even, to go from the south subdivision to what's now the plaza, the Walmart plaza, and to have had like even a pedestrian crossing there. Has anything like that been taken into account with regards to a pedestrian crossing for this rail corridor, either in the future or as things happen now? Because I think if I glance through it really quickly, it does talk to a concern over the number of level crossings, and I guess there's some gate crossings and everything else.
Working with Tim, do you mind, Ms. Hall? I've worked on this with the stakeholder group, the community groups that all been involved, even with Brampton Christian School and whatever. And yes, all the crossings have that ability for the public to cross. This is standard that the Orangeville Railway, that letter is the same as what they do with every application in Brampton as well. They're just putting everybody a notice and protecting the turf. But the development industry has even gone the extra way, even talking about putting gates in just to protect the public as well. But yes, we have connectivity. That was very important from the very beginning that we've worked on this for the last 11 years.
Thanks, Mary.
I just thought I'd cut to the chase. Okay, Councillor Mizzapelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Very quickly, I have had the fortune of working through this, although not being in my ward, and know that a lot of good planning went into it, and I know that this is going to be a great community. And one thing I have always voiced, and I want to be consistent in stating it, is I wish that there had been an opportunity to take advantage of that rail line. With the population that's coming, it would have... And it's going through the community. I just look at it as an opportunity to move people efficiently. And I know I've asked the question before, and I fully expect that it has been looked at closely. And hopefully that in the future, maybe not in this particular area, but somewhere there will be an ability. It just seems like the obvious choice to move people south in a real efficient way. So I just want to state that. But I am very proud of the work that went into this and fully supportive. Thanks.
Would have been a good solution for the LRT in the north end, wouldn't it? There's no further questions, but I want to definitely say I've worked with Tim a long time. And, you know what, kudos to Tim. And I think this is something that he can, this is where he's left his mark. And will continue to do so. And I want to also bring my accolades on behalf of, as mayor and as a council, thanking Tim for all his work. But having said that, going through this agreement, I also want to thank some of other staff. Fu Ing Wong and Patricia have logged a lot of hours on here that we're not going to get cost recovery out of, and I want to thank both of you for striking a hard deal and hanging tough. I want to also thank the development industry for being partners and building a great community that we all can be proud of, and I think this is a watershed moment. I don't know of anywhere that we've got an agreement that is good for a municipality like Caledon. And I think this raises the bar and sets a very good standard. And I want to thank the industry. It tells the character of the people we're dealing with. Through partnerships, this is what it is. It's a road. It's a two-way. And there was a lot of give and take. There's a lot of negotiations. We still have some work to do. And I think that's been already meant with Ben Ted and a couple of the others, and we're going to work through it because we've got a great group. We've got a great opportunity to have a community that we're going to be extremely proud of. But the only way to do that is to continue on with that relationship with Ben Ted and Fieldgate and all the others that still have their issues to get sorted through, and we will get there. But I want to thank everybody for taking part in it. But I want to also thank town staff. Ms. Hall, Ms. Johnson, even Mr. Barnes, and who's not here today. But, you know, I know Peggy, many people behind the scenes if I failed to mention, it's a team and it's collaboration, and we did it as a team here at the town, and is also with the development group. And to what we've done is we've brought everything together, and we've done a terrific job. And I want to really thank the staff. Job well done. This is a huge watershed moment. But not only that, we're bringing transit in as well, which we're going to be have to work with Brampton, Councillor DeBoer on that as well. But I think developing good communities, this is how we build a good, balanced community. And thank you to everybody that helped participate to that. And I will now turn it over to the clerk to call for a recorded vote.
Thank you, Your Worship. A recorded vote has been called, so I'll ask all those in favor, please stand. I see that Councillor Shaughnessy, Councillor Mazzapelli, Councillor Innes, Mayor Thompson, Councillor Beffert, Councillor Downey, Councillor DeBoer, and Councillor Groves are in favor as the motion carries.
Thank you very much. Well, now, I should do that. Back to number two, do we? The GDCs? Yeah. Okay, we're going to go on to move by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor Beffert for RB2. And what we're talking about is the development charge. The report CS 2015-051 regarding the amendments to the Town of Caledon Development Charge Bylaw 2014-054 be received. That the charges and changes to the development charge background study proposed bylaw amendments subsequent to the statutory public meeting of October 20th, 2015 are not considered as sufficient impact to create the need for a second public meeting to be held under the subsection 12-1 of the Development Charges Act 1997. The Town of Caledon Scope Development Charge Background Study entitled Amendments to Development Charges Bylaw 2014-054 attached as an Appendix A to the report CS 2015-051 be approved, and that the Town of Caledon's Development Charge Bylaw number 2014-054 be amended as attached to Appendix B to the report CS 2015-051. Councillor DeBoer.
I think this is heading into getting some of the fine-tuning that we've been talking about, but there was one comment here, and Councillor Downey had just asked me to. We talk about, within the definitions, a bona fide farmer, and we still have that definition as essentially someone who can present a general farm organization card, correct?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, a bona fide farmer means an individual currently actively engaged in a farm operation with a valid farm business registration number in the Town of Caledon, so that would be correct.
Okay, yes. Okay, thanks.
Okay. Councillor Municipelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Just one question regarding the last bullet on page 107, where we, if there's a CIP, it would be reduced by any DC discount or exemptions that might apply. So in downtown Bolton, as an example, and I'm trying to remember, so I want to be corrected if I'm wrong. Is the downtown area exempt from town DC charges in the area?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, yes.
So that, in essence, would preclude those buildings from, assuming the DC discount's greater than the CIP, from being eligible for CIP?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, that would be correct.
Now, I don't know if staff have any concern, but has there been any concern relayed by property owners that basically they would be ineligible for CIP?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, we have not heard anything to that effect.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I understood correctly. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Beffert.
Yes, thank you very much. I really see a positive in terms of number to encourage senior housing. But it's fairly restrictive in terms of a not-for-profit or charitable organization owns the property. Was there a consideration for a broader scope for seniors housing, or is there a reason why we can't make it a little broader? Because that's one of our major goals.
Through you, Mayor Thompson, the reason why we restricted it that way, we had a concern that, especially in a life lease, you kind of want a charity or a not-for-profit looking after and maintaining the property and kind of looking out for the best for the residents. So that's generally how seniors' life leases have been structured, and they have been maintained by a not-for-profit or a charity. We were also told that it could hinder the saleability of the properties if they know that perhaps a developer or someone who cares about profit is running the life lease in managing that building.
We've talked today alone about one piece of property where perhaps a seniors development could take place. Can we revisit this if that was something we wanted to look at, if an application was made for a different kind of seniors housing, or do we have to wait for another review?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, you would have to wait for another review. The point of this was just to look at certain particular seniors housing, and we want to make sure it maintains a seniors resident, and that's why we chose this option, because there is other options that other municipalities chose, but then there's no guarantee that it would stay affordable and for seniors. So this way it's still staying affordable and restricting for seniors over the age of 65.
That's why the town is recommending this option. But certainly in the next review, we can look at other options.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. I have no further questions. Councillor Downey, sorry.
Great. Through you, Mayor Thompson. Thank you, Heather. Sorry, I know I probably caught you off guard the last time we talked about this in regards to secondary dwellings on a farm, on farm property, and we've had some discussions further to that just to kind of work out those details. But I'm wondering if maybe something that we can look at is the proposed conditions for secondary dwellings, and if those could be, like there's 5 points laid out, why those couldn't be applied to secondary dwelling, not for farm help, like as in support of succession planning for agriculture. And if those the residents of the secondary dwelling were in fact family or someone that was there for the sole purpose of continuing on the farm practice.
Ms. Tollett.
Through you, Mayor Thompson. At this point, when talking to our planning staff, they had said to us that they don't normally recommend a secondary property unless it's severed. And normally for farm help, they can't have any guarantees whether if they built a secondary property, it would stay or remain a farm help. And at this point, when we first spoke to them, and that's why our response is listed under page 6 of the report, it specifically says that the town's official plan does not permit permanent secondary dwellings in the OPA. So they do look at it at a case-by-case basis. And in reviewing your comments, we will certainly on the next review of the DC study consider that. But at this point, this is just covering farm help for temporary or mobile trailers, and this is only the town's portion of DCs. So again, if we waited until the next DC study, we can actually do that in conjunction with the region, because then it would be more beneficial if we're looking at the overall DC rate, not just the town's portion. But certainly we'll take that back.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, no further questions. I'm going to call the vote. All in favor of the amendment? Pass. Carried. I do see an applicant here for RB5. If I could ask council if we could go to RB5, that's okay. Moved by Councillor Grove, second by Councillor Misapelli, that the report DP 2015-051 regarding proposed official plan and zoning bylaw amendment applications, King Street Facility Incorporated, 232-240 King Street, part of Lot 8, Concession 6 of Elvian, Ward 5, southeast corner of King Street West, Station Road, Bolton, be received. That the mayor and clerk be authorized to execute minutes of settlement in regard to the proposed official plan amendment being official plan amendment 246, Schedule E, as outlined in the report of 2015-051, or is modified to the satisfaction of the Director of Development Approval and Planning Policy in consultation with the town solicitor. That the town staff be authorized to continue and act on behalf of the town's going forward for proposed official plan amendment, zoning bylaw amendment before the Ontario Municipal Board is outlined in report DP 2015-071. In accordance of the usual course of the Ontario Municipal Board matter. Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Just wanted to raise a couple of things. I know that in the geotechnical studies, it seemed like TRCA was satisfied with slope stability. I've always had a concern and raised the concern of slope stability. Now, I'm not an expert, but I'm just going from past experience with the development at the top of the ridge and the issue that we had with slope stability. So are we satisfied that there is stability there?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, to Councillor Groves. And oh, perfect, Mr. Ward has just arrived. I will answer, and Mr. Ward, I'm sure, will need to chime in. Through the site plan that we've been working with the applicant on, we actually required for more detailed engineering information in regards to the retaining walls that are being built in this particular area. And as a result of that further review by a very specific engineer, we are satisfied that there is stability in regards to the retaining wall and the slopes.
Okay. Good to hear that, because I know the retaining wall, and I raised concerns about the retaining wall at the top of the ridge. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of coming apart. So okay. I'm glad to hear that we retained a specific consultant who's got the expertise in that area to do this, because the concern that I have is after the subdivision and everything is assumed and it's all done, things fall back on us after we give back the letter of credit, then it's back on the taxpayers. So I'm glad to see that that's been addressed. There were a couple of concerns raised by a resident, and I communicated with him as recent as yesterday. I know there was a meeting with staff, but he still had some concerns with regards to the wildlife corridor and Jeffries Creek. Can you comment on that, Mrs. Hall? Or?
Actually, yes. I would like Mr. Ward to do that, because he was involved in those conversations. Thank you.
Mr. Ward, if you can please come forward. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're getting your exercise today.
Yeah, that's good. To you, Councillor Groves, yes, that's correct. We did meet with some of the residents in the community who did have concerns with respect to the wildlife corridor. And what we had discussed with them is what we are dealing with here is essentially a decision that was established by the Ontario Municipal Board in 2010. As you're aware, these applications have been appealed to the board and are still within the jurisdiction of the board. And at the 2010 hearing, the board basically decided upon the development envelope that we are dealing with now. And with that, also decided that the development in principle is appropriate, and then directed that what the town needs to do is draft official plan and zoning bylaw amendment documents that reflect the board's analysis that took place in 2010. So essentially what this report is doing is making council aware of the revised proposal that's since come forward since that 2010 decision, and then how does that align with the findings and analysis that took place in the board's 2010 decision. Now, the concern with respect to wildlife movement through the site has been expressed. That was reviewed carefully at the 2010 board decision. And I suspect I wasn't involved in that decision personally, obviously, but I suspect that what the board was doing at that time was looking at the proposal overall in terms of balancing key interests. The development permissions that have been established through the site through a previous official plan amendment approval relative to what the proposal entailed at that time. And the decision that was made at the board is essentially what we're dealing with now is in terms of that that environmental protection area at the rear of the property, that was determined to provide that wildlife movement and linkage area through the site. My understanding from the TRCA, who was involved in that decision, was that perhaps wasn't the most optimal corridor that the TRCA envisioned, but nevertheless, that was the decision that was reached by the board, and that's the decision we need to respect moving forward with this.
So once a decision is reached by the board, we can't go back and change that decision, is that correct?
Well, I think if we did, you'd be having to give evidence and explain why, and the applicant would certainly be capable and permitted to provide evidence as to why that was established by the board in the first place.
Okay. All right. So it would be a very lengthy, costly process.
That's correct.
Okay. The other concern I have is with respect to the residents that are on Connaught who back onto that property. A number of years ago, they did come in and they did express some concerns in terms of flooding and there's a drainage outlet somewhere between the Connaught residents who back onto the property, and I don't know if that's associated somehow with the Jeffries Creek, but I know that a couple of homes were flooded out before, and I'm just wondering, has that been addressed?
Mayor Thompson, Councillor Groves again. My understanding that pertained to some stormwater management circumstances that existed at the time of the 2008 submission and the 2010 board review of the applications at that time. I believe since that time, there have since been services that have been developed along King Street, stormwater management being one of them, and the proposed site will be connecting in with that stormwater management infrastructure. The region, of course, has reviewed that as well as town and TRCA staff. Generally, they are satisfied with the proposal with respect to these amendments, There are some detailed comments with respect to how stormwater management is being facilitated within the site that are being addressed through the site plan approval process. As for residents on Connaught Crescent and expressing concerns, one important aspect to note with this these applications is when a public meeting was held in October of last year, we did notify all residents we had documented on file that had requested to be notified through the initial application review. So we did send it to the notice to those residents as well.
And did we have any feedback from them?
Well, the feedback we received at the public meeting was summarized in the report, and it, you know, the issues that were raised pertained, I believe you were at that meeting.
Yes.
Related to retaining walls, mm-hmm. slope stability, building height, other matters along those lines.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Councillor Misipelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. This too is a lengthy file, not quite as long as RB1, but it dates back almost 20 years now. So, and it's gone through a number of reiterations, and I know the applicant is in the audience tonight, and I know that it has, again, gone through reiterations. And one thing I'm thankful for, and Councillor Groves, you know, rightly so, talks about the it's difficult to see it on a paper, but there is quite a slope here. And so it has challenges. And I know watching this over time, there were some substantial walls where, you know, a resident would look out their back door and there would be a wall, would be all they could see. And I know through the applicant that has been minimized to the greatest amount possible. And I'm thankful that we had the engineering report peer reviewed to our satisfaction, that the design, the material, all of that is of high quality in what we're looking for, and minimizing the impact visually and otherwise. So I am extremely thankful for that. Councillor Grove talked about a number of the issues that I wanted to raise, and the one is, and I know the residents are here from the community that spoke about, and it's funny, you don't realize the you know, you see an empty large lot and you figure it's isolated unto itself, but when you pan back and look at it, it is part of a larger green corridor. And certainly the residents that live in that area recognize that habitat, both large and small, do utilize that. And so the one thing I wanted to suggest, and again, I know the applicant is here and has been shown to be very willing to work with the town to produce the greatest product possible. I know that now that Jaffrey's Creek will not be able to be that corridor to allow wildlife to travel from east to west, and the only availability is the EPA to the south. And I know that there is a retaining wall that's going to be moved as a part of this application. And if there's any ability to provide a linkage there, I would be thankful for that. I know the residents would be thankful. I did state in the meeting that I don't know whether it's possible or not, but at least if it's explored, then we have done what we can. And that's all that I would ask. So I just offer that to you. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. I have no further questions, Mr. Ward, so thank you very much. Okay. I'll call the vote. All in favor? It's carried. Okay. I guess if I can get everybody to go back to RB4. RB4, moved by Councillor Befford, second by Councillor Innes. It's regarding the Provincial Municipal Act. The report ADM 2015-071 regarding the provincial review of the Municipal Act 2001, that the Municipal Conflict of Interest Act be received. That the Town of Caledon endorsed the Association of Municipalities of Ontario's submission to the Minister of Municipal Affairs and Housing entitled 2015 Municipal Act 5-year review and conflict of interest review be set out in Schedule A to the report of ADM 2015-071, and that the staff forward a copy to the report ADM 2015-071 to the Ministry of Municipal Affairs and Housing as the town's response to the Province of Ontario's request for consultation regarding the review of the Municipal Act 2001 and the Municipal Conflict of Interest Act. No further questions. I will call the vote. All in favor? I recommend everybody take the supplementary here and keep that in your records because it's a very good document. Oh, yes. And Carrie's report. Got to butter
the clerk every so often.
Okay. We're going to go to RB6 now for everybody, if we could. This is the Caledon Day. Moved by Councillor Innes, second by Councillor McClure, that the report PREC 2015-020 regarding Canada Day 2015 summary report be received. That the next Caledon Day report will be held Saturday, June 18th, 2016. Question I have is, I hope this isn't Caledon Fair weekend, is it? It's not. Is that moved? I'm making sure. What I'm saying is this is not the same weekend. Okay. Very good. All right. No further questions. A good news story. And again, collaboration and support of the community. I want to thank the community of coming together and working with the town and look at what we can do. So congratulations to everybody. All in favor? Carried. I can get everybody to go RB7. It's the all-way stop for Silver Valley. Moved by Councillor Misipelli, second by Councillor Groves, that the report PW 2015-083 regarding proposed all-way stop Silver Valley at Evans Ridge be received. That the traffic bylaw 2015-058 be amended to repeal and replace Schedule D to include an all-way stop at the intersection of Silver Valley and Evans Ridge. Councillor Misipelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I just want to really thank staff on this. I know it seems like a little item, and for many of us it might mean very little, but for the people who live in this, it's their home, and it matters a lot. And the residents did the right thing. They came, they engaged, they asked council or their councillors and staff to look into it, and staff did. And I am very appreciative of the recommendation. So again, want to thank staff. And it's not just a stop sign. If you read the report, there was mobile signs, there was line painting, slow markings, all those types of things. So I just want to thank staff for making those that live in this community feel a little safer. Thanks.
Okay. No further questions. All in favor? Carried. Okay. We're going to go to RB8. It's no parking anytime, Credit View Road. Moved by Councillor Shaughnessy, second by Councillor Beffert, that the report PW 2015-084 regarding proposed no parking anytime, Credit View Road, north and south of Old Baseline Road be received. And that the traffic bylaw 2015-058 be amended to repeal and replace Schedule A to include no parking anytime prohibition on both sides of Credit View Road at a point of 500 meters north to the south of Old Base, to the north and south of Old Baseline Road. Does this, Mr. Loveridge, does this encompass the Bruce Trail where they pull off to park to work the trail? Or are they outside the 500 meter?
Mayor Thompson, I think it comes right up to the edge of that where the Bruce Trail access is, but I'd have to double check. We measure, is it slightly north? Yeah, okay.
So this is. So it's like 1,000 meters. Councillor Shaughnessy, I'll let you have the.
Thank you. I was just going to say thank you to Mr. Loveridge. This is wonderful for our designated equestrian community. They really were put at risk over the fall colors. So I didn't pick up the phone and call them and tell them about it. I wanted to get past first. But, yeah, this was a huge safety concern for the equestrian community, and so this is just one of those good news. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Downey?
I would beg to differ with my colleague that the residents of Cheltenham do not believe this is a good news story, and that my phone's been ringing off the hook with people that are not in support of no parking on Credit View Road south of Old Baseline, and it actually does. I have many emails that I'd be happy to share with the Director of Public Works in terms of compromise with the Bruce Trail Association. By having no parking come around that bend, we're in essence crippling the volunteers that come to steward the trail and use the trail for hiking. They were quite upset to see this and have offered some solutions, so maybe we can work on some kind of amendment to this.
Okay. So are you proposing an amendment, or you want to refer this back to staff to resolve this, or?
Amendment.
Amendment, all right. Sure. I was just wondering if I could let Councillor Befford speak. Yep. Councillor Befford, I'm going to let you, and then we'll see what we can do to resolve this.
Okay. Well, my experience has been with an area that's not within the defined area here, but it's like many of other spots in Ward 1. It's basically during the fall colors time that we have the issue. And in other areas, we've had temporary no parking for periods of time, which seem to ease the problem. And I'm just wondering, is that the case here? Or is it more related to the Badlands and it's on a more permanent basis? I'm trying to get a picture of anything else we might do here.
Mr. Leverage.
Through you, Mayor Thompson, Councillor Befford, the issue of parking now, because Old Base has been closed for parking by the Region Appeal in front of the Badlands, this is the natural and the first place that people go to park when they want to visit the Badlands. The issue here is, much as we have done in every other road where we've received complaints, staff goes out, completes a study, completes a review of the area to see if it meets our guidelines for parking on one side, two sides, or no sides. It's no different than Walker Road. It's no different than the roads that we did, Scott Street in Bell Fountain. This is not a staff attempt to try and push people somewhere else. We received a number of complaints about parking and it being dangerous in this area. We investigated. We're coming back to you with a recommendation to say that as it sits today, this road is not suitable for parking on both sides. Are there other solutions? Is parking required in the area? The answer is yes, and we're open to suggestions.
Yeah. So, Councillor Rasha.
Can I request a quick recess?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Can we just have a 5-minute recess to see if we can find an amendment to this? Thank you very much. Okay, we got through collaboration here. I think we've got an amendment to the motion here. Moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor Befford, that the following paragraph be added, that the Director of Public Works be directed to construct up to 6 parking spaces on south of Old Baseline Road off Credit View Road right-of-way. And that would be suffice for the Bruce Trail, I assume? Okay. All right. I'm going to call the vote. I'll call the vote. All in favor? All right. Now the motion is amended. All in favor of the original motion? It's carried. Thank you, everybody. Okay. So we'll go to RB9. Moved by Councillor Groves, second by Councillor McClure, that the report PW 2015-089 regarding the delegated authority for fence bylaw exemptions be received, that the fence bylaw number 2005-36 be amended to provide delegated authority to the public or to the Director of Public Works to grant exemptions for the bylaw, and that the formal administrative procedure be developed in order to process the exemption and requests, and that the Director of Public Works provide an update on all exemptions granted on an annual basis to Council. All in favor? Oh, sorry, Councillor DeBoer. Okay, okay.
I have no problem with delegating authority. My question is what's the avenue if a resident doesn't agree, or is that coming out with your process that you're going to put forward, if the resident doesn't agree with what your officers have come up with?
through Mr. Mayor Thompson. So you know that in a lot of cases, Councillor DeBoer, these fence issues are either brought forward so that they can separate neighbors or they're brought forward to irritate neighbors. And so we're going to develop a process where we have a consultation. We'll discuss with all of the neighbors in the area. We're going to follow the process all the way through to make sure that everyone's in agreement, that we find a compromise. And at that point, staff will make a recommendation to me to either say yes, approve, or not approve. I don't think we have a lot of exemptions in place today. However, we now have two or three requests are on the go, and so we're going to work out the process, come forward. My guess is that if we have one or two neighbors that are disagreeing and they're not going to agree, I'm not sure that the exemption would be granted. Right? And their option at that point, I'm not sure. So,
you're suggesting that if you have two neighbors that don't agree, one doesn't want a fence, one wants a fence, you're going to suggest that there's no fence?
Well, there's a fence already in place. What it would be is would we approve an exemption above the regulation today, which is 6 feet, right? So if you've got a person that comes in and says, I want an 8-foot fence between myself and my neighbor, and another person says, I object to that, and here's the reasons I object to it, why would we approve that fence height exemption at this point?
Okay, on the conditions are one of the circumstances is, for example, a swale between two homes. And it ends up being a deeper swale, and a 6-foot fence is really not more when you get up above the ground, up above where the swale would end, that you end up with only a 4-foot difference. So you don't really have the privacy. Is there an intent to allow, for example, a higher fence in that situation?
So again, if one neighbor complained, I think we would have to have a discussion to say, why would you object to a clear height of 6 feet? And we would work that through. But we have other cases where people are looking to put 7, 8 foot fences so that the neighbors can't peek into their backyard and it affects the neighbors on the other side. So we're going to develop the process. I know I'm sounding wishy-washy, but it's a matter of we have few of these. We're going to try and work ourselves through with both all of the neighbors to find a solution that works for both and then be able to have that approval. We just also feel that a lot of those issues don't belong here at council in the sense of having you sitting down and deciding between two neighbors when it could be purely administrative in nature.
I don't disagree, and I think that deferring to staff, but to have a set of, lack of a better word, ground rules as to how we're going to make it happen and then a possible appeal mechanism if it doesn't end up being satisfactory. And maybe it isn't here. Maybe it is a committee of adjustment thing or something like that. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I, too, agree with the report and allowing staff to have the delegated authority. The question I had is, reading through the report, it references the cost to apply for an exemption. Would the cost be the same? Would there be an additional cost to the resident, or would it be less? I'm just, it doesn't state so in the report.
Through you, Mayor Thompson, Councillor Mezzapelli, our intent is to maintain the fee. There's a significant amount of staff effort that goes in place, so the fee bylaw that's in place will be maintained.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Councillor Befford.
Yeah, I'm just asking, is this strictly related to fence height situations? Because there are other issues that crop up regarding fences between neighbors. Are we talking only a certain specific type of complaint?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, Councillor Befford, that's correct. It's mostly with the height exemptions. The requests that we get are mostly height exemptions. People have the right to put a fence up with the proper planning and the proper process, but the height of that fence is restricted under our current bylaw to 6 feet, and so there are times when we get those height exemptions, so that's all we'll be looking at it for this.
So I'll talk to you more later, but if you have a situation where the height of a fence appears to be affecting a business on one side of that fence, is that something that would come to you or stay with bylaw?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, it would come to me anyway, seeing as bylaw reports
okay.
to me, Councillor.
All right, so we'll chat.
Okay. All right. No further questions. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor McClure, second by Councillor Innes, that the minutes of the following meetings be adopted, written, and distributed. Council meeting held October 13th, 2015. Council meeting held October 20th, 2015. Closed council meeting held October 20th, 2015. Special council meeting held October 21st, 2015, PIM. Special council meeting held October 26, 2015, and closed council meeting held October 26, 2015. That the minutes of the following meetings be received, written, and distributed. Committee of Adjustment held October 14, 2015. Heritage Caledon meeting held October 19, 2015. Caledon Public Library Board meeting held September 21, 2015. Bolton Business Improvement Area, BIA, Board of Management meeting held August 31st, 2015. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Innes, second by Councillor Misipelli. Whereas every woman's fundamental right is to live in safety and security in their homes and communities, free from the threat of violence. And whereas this month provides the opportunity to raise awareness about the violence against women and its prevention has been recognized in Ontario since 1986. And whereas every 100,000 married, common law, and separated women in Ontario, there are 29 in shelters seeking escape from domestic violence, and one in three Canadian women will experience sexual assault in their adult life. Whereas together, the family transition place, we believe that violence has no place in our homes, schools, and community. Whereas we urge all citizens to recognize the ongoing commitment of individuals and organizations in our community who work tirelessly to help the efforts to prevent abuse. Therefore, be resolved that Council hereby proclaims the month of November 15, 2015, Women Abuse Prevention Month in the town of Caledon. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Bedford, second by Councillor McClure, that the correspondent items listed in the correspondence package for the November 10th, 2015 Council meeting be received. The correspondence from the Orangeville Railway Development Corporation dated November 5th, 2015 regarding Mayfield West Secondary Plan be received. And that the correspondence from Loopstra Nixon dated November 9th, 2015 regarding the proposed adoption of OPA 222 Mayfield West Phase 2 Secondary Plan be received. All in favor? Carried. No, goodbye. Yes. We'll go back. Is there any announcements that anybody wishes to make? Okay. Any urgent business? Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. I have a motion here. I'm assuming Doug would like to second it. It's to that a motion without notice be introduced regarding Lafarge Canada Inc.'s official plan and zoning bylaw amendment applications for Lime Beer Pit to increase the notification area for future public meetings. Thanks, Carrie.
Okay. And that's moved by you and second by Councillor Bedford? Just a notice of motion?
To waive.
Oh, to waive. Okay, so. Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay, yes, moved by Councillor Shaughnessy, second by Councillor Bedford, the motion to, without notice to be introduced regarding Lafarge and its official plan, zoning amendment of the Lime Beer Pit, increase the notification for area of the future public meetings. All in favor? Carried. Okay. Now we put the motion on.
Okay. Whereas Lafarge Canada Inc. has submitted official plan and zoning bylaw amendment applications to facilitate a proposed gravel pit known as the Lime Beer Pit, for the property described as part of lots 13, 14, and 15, concession 2, west half section of Caledon, and whereas the effects of this proposed gravel pit may be felt beyond the notification area mandated by the Planning Act, being 120 meters from the subject lands, and whereas the Town of Caledon's official plan, mineral resource policies, define areas of influence from licensed pit and quarry operations being distance of 300 and 500 meters respectively. Therefore, it be resolved that the planning staff be directed to notify all residents within 500 meters of the subject lands of the dates and times of any future meetings required by the Planning Act.
Okay. And that is seconded by Councillor Befford?
I would think so.
Yes. Any questions about that, Councillor Befford?
No, I'd just like to comment that we have done this before. In this particular case, there's a group of cottage residents, actually, living on Green Lake. But once you get past those, it's quite a ways before you get to the other neighbors, and we want to just capture as many people as we can.
Okay. Councillor Misapelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I'm always open to allowing more people to be involved in the conversation. Councillor DeBoer makes the often observation that, you know, why do we keep having to do these one-offs? And I'm looking at the second last paragraph, and I want to put this to staff if I could, and I hope I'm not putting them on the spot, where it's stated that the area of influence, depending if it's a pit or a quarry, can range from 300 to 500 meters. Do we have the authority to just put those values into our notification criteria, or is that objectable? I just thought I'd ask it.
Mr. Sorio?
I will answer as best as I can. I think, yes, you can, as council, do that. I do recall that DAP has brought a report a while ago about the notice policy, and it wasn't passed, or it was received, but the recommendations, such as going to 500 meters, wasn't applied across the board. But yeah, for here, yes, you can do it.
So sorry, council didn't, the staff had recommended
no.
that?
No.
Sorry?
No, they didn't. Council did not recommend that we exceed the Planning Act requirements to provide.
But was it staff's notice. Recommendation?
No. Yeah, no, staff did not recommend it either. And then council agreed with staff.
Okay. I would just put it there for, because I don't want to necessarily bog this down with amendments to amendments and things like that. That if we feel that there's an area of influence of those radii, that we should consider including that in our notification policy.
That's fine.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. All right. No further questions. I'm going to call the vote. All in favor? Carried. I have to go back. Is there any other urgent business? Okay. Any notices of motion printed in the agenda? I didn't see any. Notices of motion to be presented at this meeting. Is there any? If not, any council inquiries? Councillor Groves?
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I do. I'm not sure if this is to the planning department or to the clerk. I've had an inquiry, and I think the inquiry was sent, I think, to the planning department, to Mrs. Hall, with regards to petitions that were submitted with respect to the Canadian Tire. We just want to know where it is, and I think my resident was asking for copies of those. We don't know where they are.
Through your worship to Councillor Groves, I will look into that and provide your response.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. All right. Councillor DeBoer?
Yeah, as an inquiry to Public Works, the region removed truck traffic for King Road and Highway 50 through the village of Bolton, and there is an issue now with the larger trucks, and because there's probably more of them, it's probably always been an issue, but there seems to be more trucks now, but trying to make the turn from northbound town line to eastbound King Road heading toward the 400. For any of the longer trucks or combination trucks, they have to actually have to use the left turn lane to start the right-hand turn, and then they actually need
the left turn lane on King Road heading westbound to actually complete the turn. And there's a guardrail, and I believe the light standard is fairly close to the corner. If you look at the guardrail, the trucks are trying to move it back, but somebody goes every once in a while to replace it, so then the intersection gets narrow again. I think it's something that probably between King, Caledon, Vaughan, or maybe York region and the Peel region might have to be looking at some designs or something different at that corner.
Whose responsibility is that?
Through you, Mayor Thompson. So a couple corrections. So for, so that was westbound on east on north going with,
it's northbound town line heading east to the 400.
Just kidding.
And north is the one that goes up.
So I think most importantly, Councillor King, the truck traffic has not been moved off King as of yet. That's in the future when we have an alternate east-west route. So where truck traffic has been moved off is off Highway 50 or off through Queen Street through Bolton going north-south. King is in the works, but it hasn't happened as of yet. Okay. But that will happen next summer with the new construction plan for King. So King right now, east-west through to from Coleraine to Albion Vaughan is still a truck route. The turn on the corner of Albion Vaughan onto King, that'll be a joint between ourselves and the region mayor, and we'll take a look at how we can fix that up.
It's definitely going to be something then that I've just noticed more trucks there and I guess longer combinations and it's been more of an issue, and I guess it's ahead of King ahead changing of King. It because you're going to end up getting a lot more trucks backing up in that intersection. And one truck closes everything down there.
And that's the first I'm aware of it, but we'll take care of it. We'll work with the region to find a solution to that.
Thank you very much. Okay, Councillor Downey, Councillor Befford, Councillor McClure.
Yeah, Public Works, you did a good job of chopping the small stuff along Old School, but there's a few big ones. Maybe you should get the chainsaw. There's a few.
Thanks. Okay.
Thanks, Councillor. Got it.
Councillor Innes.
Through you, Mayor, to David Leverage, just following up with regards to the new Bolton Fire Hall. Can we have an update, please?
Mr. Leverage.
Through you, Mayor Thompson. Thank you for your inquiry, Councillor. It's very timely. The intent at this point is we're working right now with corporate services and purchasing to get the tender out on the street. Our plan was to have the tender for the new fire hall out by the end of this week. With a closing sometime early to mid-December. We're still waiting for final approval from the ministry on the results of our phase four. We've asked them to expedite the review of it, so it's left TRCA now. It's now with the ministry for a review of the phase four. The results, I think, are positive from our perspective, so we hopefully will be able to move forward. So just sort of to time it out, out to tender this week, close on mid-December. We'll do our review in December and come hopefully to council with a recommendation in early January for a contract award for the new fire hall with work to commence March, April of 2016.
Okay. Councillor Mizzapelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Just following up on some of the concerns that Councillor DeBoer talked about with traffic movements in the Bolton area, and I'm not sure, Mr. Leverage, if you're aware, coming southbound on Queen Street, going northbound on Queen Street down the South Hill. There's a sign that's been erected there indicating that there is parking along the curb and indicates 200 meters ahead, which actually, if you measure out 200 meters, is actually south of King Street. And I was just wondering, are you aware that the region's implementing any parking provisions in that area?
That's through Mayor Thompson. No, I'm not, but I can inquire on what's happening there.
I just noticed a sign recently.
I haven't seen it myself, but let's do a follow-up, and I'll get back to you.
And then the second thing is I've had a couple calls from different people at different times about people trying to and it's largely trucks, but it's also commuter traffic that are trying to use some of our residential streets. Elizabeth Street is an example. I know we've kind of dealt with that with the no truck signs, not a through traffic route. I've had concerns from a resident on Willow Street on the opposite side of the very same thing. It is identified as a no truck route, but there's nothing that's urging people to not use it as a through street to cut the corner at King and Queen. Also had people utilizing Temperance, Ann, and Stern to cut around that corner. I don't know the best way to try to manage that, if it's letting the OPP know, maybe a review to see if our signage is adequate. But people seem to be taking the non-prescribed route to move around that area.
Through you, Mayor Thompson, Councillor Mezzapelli. So across the town, I think in general terms that we're having issues with the increase, the significant increase in traffic, and people are being very, very impatient, not using the roads the way that they were intended to be. Enforcement is obviously one option, and we can advise the OPP that there's an issue in those areas, but we are seeing it across the town. We had an issue earlier this year in Caledon Village with people cutting the corner on Charleston and Highway 10. So it's a difficult situation, but the best solution for us, solutions for us is I get into a series of one-way roads, which makes it very difficult, or we just continue with increased enforcement.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Councillor Shaughnessy? Okay, that's it for that. Anybody, public question period? Anybody for a question? Please come forward. Yes, it is. So you have to state your name.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, Councillor. My name is Al Tepper, and this is Board Member John Cronard. And we would like to just make a comment on the regular business session 3, which is Mayfield West Phase 2. We represent the Board of Christian Schools, and that property, which is the northeast corner of Phase 2, we own approximately 60 acres, of which 60 is in the valley, in the watershed. Approximately 20 of the acres are occupied by the current building and facilities. And then to the west is approximately 20 acres, which as yet has to be developed with our plans. I understand in a new proposal that the west half of the property is designated as Ontario Environment Lands. And we've owned these lands since, I believe it's 1976, when all that existed around us was farmland. And the board of directors of Brampton Christian School also sit on the board of directors of two other also not-for-profit corporations. The one is Carity Christian Ministries, known as or operating as Kennedy Road Tabernacle in Brampton. That basically is a church with daycare facilities. And then the third board, or the third corporation that they're also involved with, is KRT Benevolent Association, which is a high-rise senior citizens complex in Brampton. Parking is becoming a bit of a problem, particularly for the church. There would be as many as at least 6,000 people who attend church there on three services on a Sunday morning. So I'll let John explain what we perhaps would like for you to consider in this redevelopment and okay. Proposed.
John, can you please do it as a question, please?
I will do my best.
Okay, thank you.
Mayor Thompson, council members, thank you for seeing us today. What we were requesting today is that with the we would request that the permitted uses for the back 20 acres there, the west side, would include things that were in the original view for this property, which had been discussed for years and years. School, a college, church, daycare. We are also looking at a seniors residence up there as well, similar to one that's in Brampton. Basically, general institution use is really what we need that property to remain zoned as, or at least have that in whatever the new zoning is being proposed for. We feel that the proposed use of this land will complement the Huron-Ontario employment area. It certainly shouldn't hurt that, but we do want to see that in there, so the use would be there as well. We'll make it very apparent. We want to work with the staff. We want to work with the town of Caledon see these uses include in the OPA 222 for Mayfield West Phase 2, and we look forward to seeing how we can work together with that and see both of these accomplished.
Okay.
I think that was partially a question.
All right. I think we've got the request, and I think between Councillor Downey, we'll get a meeting set up, and we can work through with that.
Excellent. Thank you
okay.
very much.
Thank you. Any other questions? If not, I'm going to call a recess at this point in time, and we'll commence. I will now call the meeting back to order. It is about 6:11. I will now... For delegation, moved by Councillor Innes, second by Councillor Befford, that council waives section 8.2 of the procedural bylaw to permit the delegation to be heard by Patrick Harrington on behalf of Option 3 Bolton landowners regarding the provincial facilitation proposed settlement of ROPA 28. Patrick? Oh, hold on a minute. All in favor? Carried. Okay, Patrick, you can come forward. Okay. So, Patrick, you have 10 minutes, as our standard procedure is.
Thank you, Your Worship. Good evening, members of council. I am counsel to the Brez Option 3 Landowners Group. Predominantly, it's Argo Development Corporation. I've spoken before you, and I've spoken before regional council on this topic. What you have before you this evening is a report that makes four recommendations. My clients are in support of recommendations number one, number two, and number four. We cannot support recommendation number three. Now, recommendation number two is that the mayor and clerk be authorized to execute the minutes of settlement regarding ROPA 28. We believe that the minutes of settlement with respect to ROPA 28 offer a good resolution of that process, consistent with the position that my client has always taken with respect to ROPA 28, which is that ROPA 28 is an employment ROPA. It brings employment lands into the Bolton settlement area. It is not a residential expansion. That was reserved for the Brez process. The minutes of settlement make it possible to bring into force and effect the ROPA that you approved, and it directs that those who are interested in residential expansion in Bolton to go to where that process is contemplated, which is Brez, not ROPA 28. However, what you're being asked to support in number three, the planning process to complete the implementation of the 2031A growth plan targets in Bolton, basically takes ROPA 28 and ties it to a further process that we say is redundant, wasteful, and unprecedented in the region of Peel. And I'll break that down. We say that the process that's being contemplated for the resolution of Brez, that's going hand in hand with the resolution of ROPA 28, is redundant because Brez is done. It was done by an expert planning consultant retained by the town well over a year ago. There was public consultation. There was a full assessment of specific criteria of the six lands at issue. There was a ranking of those lands, and there was a recommendation from that consultant that was adopted by this council. And that application went to the region over a year ago. It is redundant to do that again, which is essentially the process that's spelled out in the attachment to the report that talks about the process that's going to go on at the region if the settlement is implemented. Not only is it redundant, but it's also wasteful. You paid for that report to be done. You paid for that process. It wasn't cheap. To do it again asks those same taxpayers to pay for it again. Why? It's bureaucracy at its finest. You've got a report sitting on a desk at the region appeals headquarters. It's never seen the light of day at the region. We've been asking over and over again, bring forward the town of Caledon's application for a ROPA for Bolton. Let it see the light of day. Let it be assessed. Let's have a public meeting. Those who oppose it, let them come forward. There's a process for that. Yet on that desk it sits. And instead you're now asked to go back, forget for the moment that you went through that process, and start over again. And that process is just to implement the 2031A population. Still to come, 2031B, 2041. All of those processes are going to have a price tag attached to them too, public processes. By the time this is done, which is contemplated by before March 31st, 2017, those other processes will have lapped you. We are so that far stuck in trying to get the growth plan implemented. And I'll get to why we're stuck in a minute. The last point I wanted to make is that this is unprecedented. The usual process in the region appeal is a local decision on an amendment that affects the local municipality. You decide where Caledon wants to grow. You made that decision based on the best planning evidence that an expert consultant gave you, and you told the region appeal where you wanted to grow. And usually the process is the regional authority takes that information, they peer review it, they internally review it, they have their public meeting, they make a recommendation on what you asked for, and they either agree or they disagree, or maybe they modify it. What this contemplates is them doing the process for you. How many times has this council been at regional council and having regional council tell you how to do your jobs in your municipality? Now they're taking your planning process away from you and substituting their own. Why? Why are we going through this process? Why are we doing something wasteful, something redundant, something unprecedented? We all know why. It's the same reason that we had to go through an appeal process for LOPA 208, for ROPA 24, for LOPA 226, for the ministerial zoning order, for ROPA 28 and ROPA 29. And whatever comes out of Brez, you can bet that's coming too. Is the message that we want to send to get something done in Caledon or Peel, appeal everything you can until you get noticed, make a few friends on regional council, and if all else fails, go to the province? That's how somebody's trying to get what they want done. And that's what this process is going to allow them to get done. So let's play out the two scenarios that we have in front of you. If you agree to these minutes of settlement, what's going to happen? Well, it's going to go on Thursday before regional council, and they're going to have their say on it. And then we're going to engage in a year-long process of redoing the exact work we've already done. But the criteria for evaluation of that work is now out of your hands. There's going to be stakeholder consultation, public input. A new set of criteria is going to be come up with, which has the potential of turning your process upside down, which is exactly what those who are asking for it want to happen. And now, with that process upside down and a new winner of the so-called beauty contest about to be crowned, we'll have an appeal by those who previously were going to be crowned and those who are dissatisfied with that new process, potentially including this council. So now you're going to the board as an appellant of something the region has adopted, along with those others. You've now inverted the process. That's the scenario that's playing out if you agree to this. If you don't agree to this, if you say this was a fine process and we'll accept the ROPA 28 resolution, but we are not going forward with this new Brez process, the redone Brez process, how does that play out? Well, let's say it gets turned down by regional council. We go to the motion that was scheduled in the ROPA 28 process once we get our dates, and we determine whether or not those residential uses should even be on the table for ROPA 28. We do our best job to get the hostage back. ROPA 28 is being held hostage, and we go to the board and we get it back. And then where does that person that's trying so hard to get these residential uses through ROPA 28 go? They go to where they always should have gone, to regional council through the Brez process. And if they don't like what regional council approves, which is your recommended solution, hopefully, They're the appellant. Now, you're on side with the region, with those who supported your process, against the party that has appealed every one of those local amendments and regional amendments that I listed earlier. So ask yourself, has this process resulted in something that is town-initiated and town-supported, or is this an effort to rescue something that shouldn't be even be in jeopardy in the first place? Are you going to reward someone who has done this to you, or are you going to take back control over this process, go to the board, and just plain win? My client thinks he can. And we are with Caledon no matter what you decide tonight, here on Thursday and in the months to come. And I finished with just a minute to left to go.
Thank you very much. Just hold on. I have a question for you, Pat.
Certainly.
Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. We've been to enough hearings here, and we don't always win. My question to you is, we've got an opportunity to move 28 ahead and come through a process that we continue to work with everybody on. What would be, in your best opinion, the time it would take to get a hearing if we didn't support what was in front of us here today, to get a hearing, to do 28 on its own, or with the Brez, get the Brez separate onto its own, have the region actually start to do the ROPA at the region because they haven't even started it. How much time do you think that's going to take?
Well, we've been trying to get a motion date for ROPA 28 for some time now. The next available dates is set a date set aside in February. So let's play this process out. Let's say we get a motion date in February. And let's say, for argument's sake, that the party who is seeking party status wins. So then that we get into another further hearing on ROPA 28. That hearing expands because now my clients want to jump in. Now the option one people jump in. Now you're into a much bigger hearing that probably doesn't get resolved until sometime in 2017. You play your scenario out where you get ROPA 28 in force, but you are still going to battle over the Brez. That process also results in a hearing that probably doesn't even get started until 2017. But yes, you do get your ROPA 28 out from underneath the process you're in. Except, if we go to that hearing in February and we win, then ROPA 28 only has a single appellant left, and that single appellant doesn't have as many complicated issues as the party status motion wants to heap onto that hearing. So you could get ROPA 28 out from and underneath the board in 2016 and still have your fight with Brez.
Now, if you get a date.
If you get a date. And that's administratively something we have to solve with the board and with the council who represent the parties at the hearing.
The comments that you make are totally agreeable by everybody here. And the whole intent that we were told because we had to go down this road was because everything was costing too much money. This isn't getting any cheaper, and it never has gotten any cheaper.
And I don't think either resolution in this process is going to result in something cheaper, because either way, this is headed to a board hearing. Do you want to do one now, or do you want to do one in 2017 is really what you're debating, because somebody is going to appeal the result of this.
But potentially two hearings, because you could get the one for this one, and you'll get another one in for the Brez expansion in the future again, whenever it does get finalized. So we're going from one hearing to two hearings.
Somebody's going to the board over Brez. The question is, you need to go to the board over ROPA 28. My client doesn't have any lands in ROPA 28, so that's where my client's interest may diverge slightly from those of Caledon. You're correct.
Okay, thank you.
No further questions. Thank you very much, Patrick. Okay. If everybody can go to RB 10, please. Moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor DeBoer, that the report DP 2015-097 regarding provincial facilitation proposed settlement on ROPA 28 be received. That the mayor and clerk be authorized to execute middle minutes of settlement regarding the regional official plan amendment 28. That the planning process to complete and implement 2031A growth plan targets in Bolton be supported, and that the report DP 2015-097 be forwarded to the region appeal, the provincial development facilitator at the Ministry of Municipal Affairs and Housing. Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Just have a couple of questions for staff. This has been a very long process, complicated process, confidential process. And so I just have a couple of questions with respect to the reason why we started this fight, the reason why the community of Bolton started this fight was about Canadian Tire. This issue has morphed into more than just Canadian Tire or the MZO. It has now morphed into a fight for residential development and opening up a process that I believe the town undertook. I think it was in 2012. I'm not sure. Ms. Hall, you can correct me if I'm wrong, in determining where the 2031A numbers will go. So my question to you, I don't know if it's to Ms. Hall or Mr. Barnett or who it's to, is with regards to the MZO. Can you tell me what is happening with the MZO? The community's wish was to have that MZO revoked. What's the status of that during the facilitation process?
Mr. Burnett.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. On September 17th of this year, the solicitor for Ms. Seipt wrote to Ted McMeekin and advised that this letter will serve as my client's request to revoke the request to have the ministerial zoning order revoked. So the request to revoke, it was revoked. Those were his words. And it goes on to say, as a result, is our client's desire not to pursue the revocation of the ministerial zoning order any further, and by copy of this letter is advising the OMB that a hearing in respect of this matter will no longer be necessary. As a result of that piece of correspondence, the minister wrote to the OMB advising that there was no longer a need for a hearing to take place, and the hearing, which was scheduled to take place I think in October, actually, I've forgotten the date since I deleted it from my calendar, didn't take place, and the minister's zoning order it continues in full force and effect. There are no outstanding requests to revoke it.
So the MZO is still in force, which gives it the zoning?
Correct.
Okay. The community, and I'm not sure if, because all this stuff was confidential, so I don't know what you can tell us, but the community raised some concerns with respect to Canadian Tire. And some of the concerns they raised, and they've been raising it from day one, is to talk about the noise, the pollution, the fumes, the traffic on the road, how you're going to manage that traffic, who's going to pay for the damages to the road. So during the facilitation process, which was a very closed-door process, can you tell me, has any of that been discussed, or has Canadian Tire addressed any of that, or?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the contents of the facilitation are confidential. I would note that as part of the document which is before you as a proposed ROPA 28, there is a paragraph which is added to that which was adopted by Council. And that's found at page 12 of 24 of your report, RB10. It's the last paragraph before the actual policies of the amendment, so it's part of the preamble. And it does make reference to the minister's zoning order. It says, the minister's zoning order, which applies to a portion of the lands that are subject to this amendment, may be revoked once this ROPA is approved, appropriate local official plan policies are approved, and an implementing zoning bylaw is passed and enforce incorporating the MZO land use permissions. That's the one public reference to the minister's zoning order arising out of this process. And that is a part of the amended ROPA 28 that your staff have recommended.
Right, thank you. So based on that, I've been It's been suggested that I did not support the community because I did not support facilitation. This is exactly the reason I did not support facilitation, because all of these discussions, all of these negotiations, it's done behind closed doors. Now, we can't get any answers. You can't tell us anything because all of these things are confidential. That was the reason I did not support facilitation. We were told by one of the lawyers representing one of the proponents that facilitation was open to anyone. Well, during the process, I have learned that it is not open to anyone. As a matter of fact, the facilitator, she makes the decision who can participate in facilitation, and everybody signs a confidentiality agreement. So the whole process has been disappointing, because this is not the reason the community started this. We started it based on the Canadian Tire and the MZO that was issued. So to hear that the MZO has been withdrawn, to revoke that MZO, I think it is a disappointing. It's disappointing to the community, because that's not why we went. And during this whole process, we don't hear anything about Canadian Tire. It is all about population numbers, and it's all about where those population numbers are going to go. I don't think the community had any concerns about that. Their concerns and the fight with the previous council's decision here was with Canadian Tire and the MZO and the impacts that it will have on our community. And to date, I've written to Canadian Tire to talk about those concerns and how they're going to address them, and I haven't heard anything from them. So nobody is talking to us from Canadian Tire. We can't get any answers about what happened in facilitation with respect to Canadian Tire, and the community is left in the dark. So I guess my question is, when will the community have some answers as to how and when Canadian Tire will address those concerns? The other concern that was a major concern for the community was the hydrogen facility, that to produce hydrogen there. We don't have any answers on that either. And Canadian Tire is not saying anything and has not even responded to my emails to them to address any of that. So I guess I'm at a loss.
In response to the question through you, Mr. Mayor, Councillor Groves, I guess all I can tell you is there was one request to revoke the minister's zoning order. That was filed by Ms. Seit, and in September of this year, her lawyer wrote to the minister saying that the request to revoke was being withdrawn. There was reference to the fact that there was some language that had been discussed, and that language is the language which is in page 12 of the document I referred to earlier. And all I can tell you is that the request to revoke has been withdrawn, and with respect to Canadian Tire and how they might respond, I'm afraid you'll have to address that to them. I can't speak for them.
Okay. Well, I guess it's just disappointing because the community, I think, lost. Thank you. During this facilitation process.
Councillor Misipelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I want to be very clear on this, and I'm not sure why we're talking about Canadian Tire. That is something that there's no appeal left under. It was passed by this council previously. What I want to state is following so first dealing with ROPA 28, the employment lands, and that's clearly and entirely what that was about, employment lands. Actually, it was a sad coincidence that that was actually the first date that I had actually sat in on a regional council meeting where that motion came forward to direct staff to drastically alter the direction of the ROPA 28 to include other land uses, to expand the boundary, to have residential as a part of that. If we want to talk about unprecedented, to me, that was an example of it. And unfortunately, again, my first experience at regional council sitting in the public gallery. So I look at it as ROPA 28. It was an open democratic process. We went through a study that looked at two options as to where those lands could be. We arrived at the lands on the west side of Coleraine, which is what we have before us. And I fully support that going forward. And I do see that that is the recommendation here in the report. Fully supportive of that. The second component is the residential. And I have also followed that and had the fortune of being on council through the whole process of BRES. And the public was a key component of that. Public consultation, public meetings, stakeholders were involved, staff, council. And we went through a lengthy process and we arrived at a conclusion that selected option three. And I should add, the Region of Peel was there as a strong partner in that. And I have said from day one, I entirely supported that conclusion. I recognized that that was a fully open, democratic, transparent process, and we arrived at a conclusion. And not everybody won, if there has to be winners or losers. But based on the criteria that we put together and we weighted, we arrived at a criteria matrix that selected one over the others, and it was the option three lands. And through that whole process, and I was satisfied that it was open and transparent and inclusive, I support that recommendation, and I still do to this day. And virtually every landowner that didn't win accepted that. And we had an appellant that didn't accept it, and there has been appeals, and that is what we are mired in today. But to me, that does not change my resolve on the process that produced the result for BRES, which was option three. And I will not waver on my support for that. And I do not want to go down a road that will threaten that outcome. I fully supported it, and I still do to this day. And I don't want that compromised. And I absolutely respect and appreciate town staff in giving us the advice that they do, the planning that they do. They were a key component in putting BRES together for us. And I absolutely value that input that they gave and producing that framework, which resulted in the outcome of BRES. And I was not supportive of facilitation. And for myself, the only reason I supported us going to facilitation is because it was happening. It was happening without us. There was conversations being had without us. There was no way for our staff to say, this is the good work that we're doing, and this is why we've reached this conclusion. And that was the only reason why I supported it, because I wanted us to understand what was happening there and to have an impact on that process. But again, my full expectation is we do not waver from what we have done here. Peel planning is from the bottom up. The lower tier municipalities undertake that exercise and float it up to the Region Appeal for their approval. If there was any error that we made in any number of areas, that should have been brought to our attention through the BRES process, and I don't recall that that happened. So I expect and fully believe that that study is entirely valid in its conclusion. But when I see the report before me, and this is the first time that I have ultimately seen some of the outcomes of the facilitation, I have to say, and again, with absolute respect to all that have participated and put this together, that I see things here that cause me concern. I see things that cause me to be concerned that we may be going down a road that doesn't assure me that we are sticking to the planning that we agreed to. We agreed to the outcome of BRES, which selected option three, and what I see before me is an additional planning process that I am not certain, particularly considering the climate at Peel Council, that may produce an outcome that reaches the same conclusion. and that concerns me. I don't have any question about the process we went through. That's why I don't have any question about supporting the option three lands. When I look at this, I see that it's possible that that might happen, that there might be an alternate, and that concerns me. The delegate talked about this being an unprecedented additional step. And again, not sitting at the Region Appeal, I'm not privy to how planning works at that level, but I too thought that the local planning authorities, the municipalities, passed their studies on to the Region Appeal for their approval. And it was stated, if there needs to be a peer review, if there needs clarification, absolutely. But we are clarifying, asking questions of a process that we undertook. What I see here is it gives consideration to. To me, BRES needs to be the centerpiece. And it seems to be off on the side with a number of other considerations that the Region Appeal and this planning process will consider. And so I am concerned, and I do have a question, believe it or not. In the report, it talks about, and I will give you the... in the minutes of settlement, it's page 1 of 24 in the report. 1B eliminates section 5.4.3.2.2 and replaces it with a paragraph that is, again, of some concern because it talks about the 2031 boundary of Bolton has been partially established and remains to be completed. Can I know what the original paragraph was?
If you just give me a moment, Councillor.
Can you pull the mic towards you a little bit? I don't think many people can hear you, Chris.
While I'm pulling it up, Councillor, through you, Mr. Mayor, my recollection is that the reference was to early to 2021 boundaries, and so the update is reflecting, the change is reflecting a change in circumstances. I'm saying that's my recollection, but I'll give you the exact wording in just a second. So what it says right now is the first line is the same. Show on Schedule D the 2031 settlement boundaries for Caledon East, Mayfield West Rural Service Centers. And then it goes on to say, and the 2021 settlement boundary for the Bolton Rural Service Center. And so that's we have to delete that to update it to reflect the fact that we're moving forward. It then goes on to say the 2031 settlement boundary for the Bolton Rural Service Center will be designated on the basis of a municipal comprehensive review consistent with various policies of the plan. Accordingly, the region working with the town will designate the 2031 settlement boundary of the Bolton Rural Service Center. So it was reflecting a point in time, looking forward, and because we've now passed that, it's deleting the reference to 2021 and then referring to the current status of the 2031 boundary, and it reflects the fact that it has been partially established. That reflects the fact that ROPA 28 establishes the 2031 employment boundaries, and the reference to partially is because the BRES has been applied for to do the for the full establishment of the Bolton Rural Service Center boundary.
Okay.
Is that of assistance?
Yeah, no, that answers my question, and certainly we recognize that the 2021 is no longer a marker that we recognize. The other thing that causes me concern, and again, I offer these, and it's staff will testify that I do not disagree with staff on very rare occasion, and that's for good reason, because A, they do good work, and B, I respect their position, so I want staff to clearly understand that, is when I look at what this exercise, this planning exercise, will undertake, and the timelines, and this is, for those who have the report,
It's page 23 and 24 of 24. I take pride in the fact that our BRES process was extremely inclusive. We encouraged public participation. We went out to the public and asked their opinion, and they influenced the process. And when I look at this, I do not see a great opportunity for public participation. You can write a letter, and there's a period where you can state your opposition to the outcome, but there's no digging into the community. If we're going to go through a process where we are going to review planning of BRES, I do not see that depth of public consultation. And that is a landmark that we stand proudly behind. I see no point at which council, Town of Caledon Council, will be delegated, that they will bring that to us so that we can offer our comments. This seems like it's an entirely a region appeal-driven exercise with the stakeholders, of which we are one. I get that. But we aren't formally a step in this, that they will come to us and say, this is where we're at. I believe they go to regional council, but they don't come here. This is our planning, and yet we don't have a step in this. And that concerns me. So bottom line for myself, and I want to state it publicly, I support the result that was produced by BRES, which is the option three lands. And the only way I want to proceed is that that is ensured going forward. And that is all of that I will accept. Thank you.
Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. I'm going to approach this from maybe asking a few questions.
That'll be great.
I guess a question to staff. The report and what was kind of agreed to with the facilitation is a process here of 11 points. How would that differ had it not been agreed to in this process? What would, in your opinion, best possible opinion, be that what the region would do to review our plan for the ROPA? And a timeline that you would suggest it would be, considering it's already been there for a year.
So in regards to ROPA 28, which is the employment lands that were submitted to the region appeal, what happened there was that the region actually went out and hired a consultant to actually assist in the review of our application. That was due to the fact that there was being concerns raised that the town was not actually doing a single ROPA application to bring all of the population and employment numbers in through one application, that we were bringing them in through three applications, separate applications and separate studies being done. So they went out and did seek a consultation with a planning consultant. Planning consultant did report back to regional council on that through that process and did advise regional council that what the town of Caledon is doing is proper planning, meets all the intents and conformity with all the various provincial plans. So that was that process for 28, and then it went through the typical planning process, holding the public meetings, doing the circulation, getting comments from people, determining what the criteria was. That was for 28. 29 was a little bit simpler. So they just basically took our application and processed it, sought comments from all the various agencies, stakeholders, and everything else, and obviously finalized a report that went to council and adopted that application. So there isn't actually a standard process that I can give you for any of the ROPA applications because they have been different. This is one that has now changed a little bit more because what they're now indicating, and I think maybe it's just a little clearer, is that it's actually indicating they're going to go out and actually seek public consultation on various things through the process. One being, which I know a few people have indicated to us, is the stakeholders on the criteria, the evaluation of the criteria. So they feel as though that is something that is important, that they felt that it shouldn't just be a single individual or group that's providing that advice to the staff through a public process,
that they should be hearing from all of them. So that's one of the things that I would say is maybe a little bit different in this process than everything else. Most of the other stuff, except for the discussion and the discussion paper, that's a little different than what we've done in the past. Sorry. As well as, yes. Yeah, and so Chris just reminded me that ROPA 28 was applied for in 2010, and it took until 2014 before we got a decision from the region. So it was 4 years. So we would also like to be able to move things forward so that we get the 2031 population numbers dealt with and assigned and approved. As council may or may not remember, the growth plan was approved in 2006. We are going to be going into 2016 in a few months. And at this point in time, we only have for 2031 ROPA 29 approved. We have not finished doing the planning and the approval of the growth numbers for the 2031 numbers that were given to us 10 years ago. This actually would move that forward to a point that we would have decisions made on everything by the end of next year.
We would have a decision, in all likelihood, still having a board hearing, but we would have had to, we would complete a decision, correct?
That's right. You'd have a decision from the region appeal.
We would also have, and then the timing on Amendment 28, and how quickly, because that would take the hearing, or take the hearing out of it, and allow it to move to development. When could something like that? Are we talking a fairly quick turnaround time for those projects to happen? Because we do have landowners that are, and to use the guest's words, held hostage.
So we have been actively working on the policies for ROPA 28 with an expectation that it would get approved. So we're looking at bringing something back to council in the winter for a local official plan amendment.
Okay. With regards to the local official plan amendment on the Brez lands, we're working on that, or the secondary plan, I guess, would be the first, right?
Yes. So we have not stopped the process of Brez as a result of the region not addressing our application. We have continued to move forward on doing the remainder of the planning work that is required.
One of the advantages of keeping going is that when we get the next round of population numbers that we can't keep up with, we're not getting farther behind, correct?
That's right. Absolutely.
Okay. The timing for the hearings, I think that was a question I had asked the delegate, and I just wonder if you could give us an opinion as to the two scenarios and how things would move out. One would be not supporting this and then ended up going to essentially one, I don't know if it would be one big hearing or two hearings to deal with each one, and the other one would be a hearing based on just 28 alone at the end of the process.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, there is a hearing time set aside in the board calendar to deal with the ROPA 28 appeal or a portion of that appeal. If council is supportive of this and if the region supports it and all other parties are supportive of it, so we have a settlement, I would expect that the ROPA 28 as modified, we'd use just one day in February to get that approved. We'd try and get a hearing date before that to get it done, but the way the board's calendar is, it would probably happen in February, but it would be on consent and that would be done. If this is not supported, I would anticipate we would then move into having the motion for party status that Somar has brought, which was to have been argued in June, but the board adjourned. That would take place. Mr. Harrington referred to the hearing time in February. I don't know whether the board would let us use that time for the hearing of that motion. I would want to see it argued as soon as possible, but we, even though it was adjourned in June, still don't have a hearing date for that. We would need to have that question determined before we started moving forward with a bigger hearing on the issues. If Somar is successful, becomes a party, then the hearing for ROPA 28 actually becomes a hearing on all of where residential population goes, because what they're doing is asking the board to allow them to argue as part of ROPA 28 that essentially the BRES population should be picked up from where the town has said it should go, and it should in fact go in the in the where they say it should go, to the west of the Europa 28 lands. And so I don't know when that would take place. Getting hearing time out of the board for a large hearing is extremely problematic. Ms. Bissett was at a pre-hearing on Monday, and she had 2 weeks hearing booked in September of 2016. So the time frame for getting hearing dates is exceedingly difficult.
And to have a hearing date for the Brez without having a ROPA?
So that... I don't quite understand that scenario.
Well, if we don't move to supporting this, we in all likelihood won't have a regional official plan to talk about the Bolton residential expansion.
Right. Okay.
So then scenario, how does that play out?
So in that scenario, either Solmar is successful in its motion for party status and where residential goes gets dealt with as part of that process, and the region, frankly, at that time would have to take a position on where they say it goes. If that happens... because the matter is before the board, the decision at the region as to where the residential population should go, their position, I would expect would take place in camera and outside of the public process. If Solmar is not successful in that motion and there is no settlement, then I don't know what the region will do in terms of processing the ROPA application. One of the things that staff see as being a benefit of this process is that it sets some timelines around it. There have been a number of milestones that we had expected would take place with respect to the BRES application, public meetings, reports back from on works issues, and those haven't taken place to date. Without this framework, I don't know what the timing would be for the region to move forward with processing the ROPA application. I would hope that they would proceed in any event to process it, but there's no assurances we see in this document.
With this, we have assurances that it's going to move forward and we'll have a result in a year's time. The other one, it will be when they decide to.
Just so.
And with developers, they can appeal to the board for Osnocki making a decision quick enough. Do we have that same avenue with the region?
We do not, because there is a limitation in the Planning Act. Because this is an application for a settlement area boundary expansion, the appeal rights that exist on other applications don't exist here. So if no decision is made, there's no appeal of a non-decision available. And if the region says no, there's no appeal of that decision either. If the decision is to approve or to modify, then there's an appeal of that decision.
Okay. If I remember correctly, we have the other signatories to the agreement are the members with ROPA 20 or with the 28 landowners, right?
Sorry, just to be clear, the other parties to the facilitation include the ROPA 28 landowners. The status of the minutes with respect to everyone else is not something that's before you.
Okay. My question would be is along the lines of who's accepting of it, and if our position ends up being, if we're contrary to holding up, if we end up being the ones that are holding up the process, what position does that put us into?
So the question that's before you is whether you support this process and these minutes of settlement. If you say yes, it goes to the region. The region says whether or not they support the minutes of settlement. And then it falls to the remainder of the process to determine whether or not the minutes will be binding on. And that status is, because it's part of the facilitation, remains confidential. If you say no, or the region says no, then it all takes is one party to say no, and there is no agreement.
Like Rob, I wasn't happy with having to head into facilitation, but hoping that it wouldn't have happened. In the end, it did happen, and we had to be there to represent and reinforce the work that we did. Like Rob, I also support the work that we did with the Bolton Residential Expansion. I think we did a fairly full and wholesome study with regards to where it should go and the location of it. I think that it will, in my opinion, stand the test. And I'm willing to defend and suggest that we need to defend it. Where I have trouble with it, with this whole project, is that 28, where we are holding some landowners hostage and not having to be able to do what they need to do. They've made investments. They need to continue to make the investments, and we as a community need to make investments. We've been held up here in that area for those lands. The province has held us up with the highway expansion. You know, we're looking at trying to balance a budget here in the next couple of weeks. All of these things are very important. I think that I will be supporting what the recommendation is, and I think it's important that we do start to try and move things along, try and get things going. We're going to continue to do the secondary plan for the Bolton Residential Expansion Area, so we're going to continue to do the work, and then we work through the regional process. It's maybe a little bit longer than, or maybe a few more steps in there than what was what we might have expected. But I think that staff, as they participate and will participate, as well as all the stakeholders that are here and have an opportunity to participate, will defend the position that we came to. We did have support for the land from the landowners in option one when we did select three, and I think that that does make me satisfied that we did have a full and fair process here, and I can't expect that the region would really want to have anything less. So I will be supporting what staff's recommendation is here and continue to work with all of the residents in our option three and all the other options as we work through 31B numbers and 41 numbers and continue to develop a community that we can all be proud of.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor DeBoer. Councillor Ennis.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Sadly, I think that this might be the first time that Councillor DeBoer and I disagree on something. I do have concerns that Councillor Mezzapelli outlined earlier and did a good job doing so. I'm concerned about the precedent that this may set. I'm concerned that we're being rushed into making a decision. We were forced into facilitation, and now we're being rushed to make a decision. That's going to have a lasting impact on this community. I've had other councillors from other municipalities say to me, it's one development, and I say to them, I have to live with that development for the rest of my life. My kids are going to have to live with that development for the rest of their life because it's part of our community. And I feel that we're rushing into this without fully digesting what the outcomes could potentially be. I haven't had an opportunity to discuss this with regional staff. And some of my residents who have concerns. So given that, I will be moving forward an amendment to the recommendation that paragraph 3 be replaced with the following, that the planning process to complete the implementation of 2031A growth plan targets in Bolton be referred to the next council meeting to allow for further consideration.
Do you have a seconder? Does anybody want to speak to the amended motion? Councillor Mezzapelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I have no problem with this. I have no problem listening to more information. The one thing that was key and a key partner for us in this is the Region of Peel. And as Councillor Innes talked about, this is the first time that I've seen this to this depth. Is me receiving the council agenda, and what the key component I am not aware of is what does the region appeal feel about this, and I hope that as far as getting further consideration or consultation, I would think that we would hear back from Peel staff as well. Again, I have no problem taking the time to delve in this deeply. Councillor Ennis makes the good point that we want to make sure we, because once you step through that door, you've made that commitment to that path, and we want to make sure we go down the path that best reflects the will of this community, Caledon. And
a little bit of time to hear back from those with vested interests, because not a lot of time has been given for people to digest this. I think the applicant even mentioned that. I'm okay. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I will be supporting the amendment. Like the other two speakers, I have no problems in getting additional information. This was given to us and not enough time to really understand it fully, to understand the implications moving forward. And so I have no problems in getting more information from staff at the region before making a decision on it. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Befford.
I have two questions, one to the mover and one to our legal representative. Does what is on the screen, is that equal to saying that we're going to defer provincial facilitation proposed settlement?
Yes.
And if not, how does it differ?
So my intentions for this amendment is that it's known that this council supports the Minister settlement with regards to ROPA 28, and that we agree that that everything surrounding that should move forward. All we're asking for is with regards to the BRES process that is outlined in their Minister settlement, that they give us an opportunity to have some time to digest and thoroughly think through this process before we make our decision.
So you're basically chopping it in two.
I'm separating the two.
Okay. To our legal advisor, I don't know what the timeline is for this settlement, but what does this motion, can you respond to what does this motion do to us or for us?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the expectation arising out of the conclusion of the facilitation was that this would be brought before this council for consideration on November 10th, and then to regional council for consideration in camera on November the 12th. I think it's fair to say that the parties to the facilitation see the components to the agreement as being comprehensive, that it is, for lack of a better term, a package deal. I do not know what the effect of splitting that package in two will be, because it has not been discussed. So it would be inappropriate for me to speculate.
Further to that, could I ask you, if we chose not to split but to defer, to provide us more time for a number of things, would that make a difference to the comments that you just made?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I think the only answer I can give is much the same, and that is the expectation of the parties arising out of the process is that this matter would be considered by Caledon Council at this meeting on November 10th, and that it is perceived, it is a package deal. I can't speculate. It wouldn't be appropriate for me to speculate about what the effect of a deferral would be, because I simply don't know. I'm sorry, I can't be more helpful, but
yeah. I guess part of me right now is saying that I really am not too worried about any discussion getting to the regional council on Thursday. This is about Caledon. We have to do right for us. What is important is that we don't destroy a process that in the end might help us, because that's why we went through this, even though we had some reticence in doing it. And so that's why I'm asking, if we defer it, it seems to me that part of what I'm hearing is that we haven't had enough time, and I'm the same as everybody else. I haven't had enough time. I'm an area councillor. I haven't even been involved in the discussion at the regional level. So it's even worse for those of us who are not involved in that. And you and the other councillors have helped us tremendously. But we need time to think about what it is that this means. And I go back to Councillor Mezzapelli's comments. What does it mean in terms of all the work that we've done? So, again, what does it mean if we simply deferred the entire the entire package until we can give some thought, some serious thought, to questions like Councillor Mezzapelli asked. Would that be possible or not?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I'm sorry, Councillor, I just don't know the answer to that question. I do not know what the other parties to the facilitation will say to that, and I can't speculate without some solid knowledge. So I just don't know what the effect will be. Is there a risk that parties could say, we thought this would be done by a certain date, and it's not, and therefore that's it? That's possible. Is it possible they may say, what's 2 weeks? We don't like it, but we're prepared to wait. That's also possible.
Right.
Which of those two outcomes is likely? I don't have any idea.
Thank you. I guess I would ask the mover if she was prepared to move that the entire package be deferred.
I think the reason why I've split it out like this is because I do want them to know that we don't have any issues with the ROPA 28 settlement. I don't have any concerns. The people that have spoken around this table don't have any concerns with it. I think that the landowners in ROPA 28 need to know that we don't have any concerns with it, as well as all of the other proponents within ROPA 28 that had issues. And that's why I've separated it out. So I'm just saying we have concerns with one portion of it that we would like to thoroughly review before we make that decision. I've had an opportunity to look at the ROPA 28 things, and we've discussed the preamble before. I don't have any concerns with it. It's just I haven't had time to thoroughly digest.
So I think I still have the floor, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
I guess my question would be then, what does it mean that we thoroughly review? What would the next 2 weeks mean to us to make a difference for what's in front of us for that particular aspect of it?
Well,
so I don't know.
Anybody.
If you're asking what I would like to do, I would like an opportunity to be able to speak with my regional staff. I would like an opportunity to speak with some of my residents. I would like an opportunity to speak with some of the stakeholders. The fact that we got this on Friday and it's now Tuesday is not enough time when this has such a significant impact on our community. I haven't had those time to have those discussions. So I'm asking for that time.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to jump the. There's lots of questions, and I know as the mayor, you always ask the end, but I'm going to jump the queue because I'd like a point of clarification, Ms. Hall.
Sorry, were you speaking to me?
Yes. So I'm jumping the queue here. Okay. I know there's a whole list of questions, certainly. But I got one question I want to clarify with something that Councillor Mezzapelli brought up when we're talking about 23 and 24, the pages in the settlement.
Oh, yes.
Basically,
yes.
On public consultation.
Yes.
I just want to get it clarified. When it said how the region goes through for public consultation, what difference is that they're asking doing the BRES and the public consultation at the regional level? How is that different than we went through the public consultation on ROPA 28 and ROPA 29? It's pretty much the same process, is it not?
It's the same process. I would say that... I think what this is specifically saying is that they're allowing interested stakeholders and they're inviting them to provide an answer to questions. So they have clearly documented how they're going to do their process, which was requested as part of the facilitation. Like, you know, if we're going to put a planning process together, you have to document it so that people all understand what it's going to be.
Okay. Councillor McClure, thank you.
Yes, I think the same way as a lot of the other councillors. I don't like number three here. We went through a process. We picked an area. It was north of King. And this could be turned around to Somar. I think they're hiding in the bushes. That's what they want. They want to put numbers somewhere else. I detest that. And I think we need time to study this. Somar... I won't say what they're trying to do to me, but that's nothing to do with this. But I think it does. I just don't like this. I'd like more time to think about this. I just got this agenda today, and I haven't digested it properly. That's all I got to say.
Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you. Okay. So when we agreed to go into facilitation, what I want, some people new here may not remember, is that Brez wasn't part of that. The actual minister said Brez wasn't part of the facilitation process, that it had to go through its open process within the region appeal. And then all of a sudden, Brez is part of this process. But what I have a problem with is that those involved with Brez weren't allowed to be part of the process. So how do you say we're including Brez in this process, but not let the people most affected by Brez be part of the process? To me, that just doesn't make sense. So I think I've been pretty clear all the way along that I wasn't supportive of facilitation, because what happens in facilitation, it's behind closed doors and anything can happen. And this Brez is anything can happen. And I just think it's wrong. And I think everybody deserves an open process, a fair process, and I don't see it as such. So I will be supporting both Rob and Jennifer on their motion here today. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor DeBoer?
I guess I'm not sure if you guys had answered the question of delaying this piece or delaying the whole thing. What's the difference? And I think you kind of touched on that, didn't you?
No answer.
Do you want
to? Yeah. So I think I'll give you the planning answer, and then if the lawyer wants to jump in, the lawyer can give you the lawyer answer. I myself would be suggesting, if you are going to delay the consideration of the whole facilitation, you delay the whole thing rather than breaking it out, because I think as soon as you break it out, it may actually kill the facilitation.
Rather than delaying one piece,
yes,
delay the whole thing.
I would recommend that you delay the whole thing, because then at least Chris can go back to the other parties and say they've just asked for more time. They need more time to consider it, to digest it. They're saying that the time period of Friday at noon until Tuesday at noon wasn't enough time to process all of that and have proper dialogue. Therefore, that's why we're asking for the additional 2 weeks. I think as soon as you break it out, this is my opinion and being part of what we've been part of, I think it might break down the whole facilitation. That's my recommendation to you. Chris may have something else to say.
I think on balance, and I'm thinking on the fly here, on balance, the facilitation and these two components and the framework has always been discussed. In fact, it may even be in the title, as a comprehensive framework. And so on balance, I just want to see if I've got that right. Just give me a second. Yeah, it's Framework for Comprehensive Settlement of ROPA 28, and there's two parts of it. I have to say, I think on balance, that because it's always been discussed as a comprehensive settlement, that if it is the will of council to take more time to examine this, I think that it would be more in keeping with the comprehensive nature of the discussions to defer it all. I'm not a mind reader. I don't know how those other parties to the facilitation might interpret that, but I guess I'm saying, having been at the table, that since it was all talked about comprehensively, that if it is the will of council to take more time, it is probably more in keeping with the way in which it unfolded to defer it comprehensively than to defer it in parts.
I think that's interesting. I would ask the mover and seconder to consider that.
I guess that's a no. Councillor Groves?
Thank you. I guess I'm thinking along the same lines as Councillor Shaughnessy, and I was going to raise the fact that the minister was specific in his letter on what can be and should not be discussed in facilitation. And so I'm just wondering, and I don't know if Mr. Barnett can answer that, how BRES became part of facilitation when the minister clearly stated that it was not to be part of facilitation.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I don't have the minister's letter in front of me, but my recollection of it is that the initial piece of correspondence indicated that those matters which for which no public process had been followed and no decision had been made, and I am paraphrasing, but this was the principle behind it, should not be part of the facilitation. And so the initial intent, I think, to some parties to the facilitation and reflected in the June 25th resolution was to have the outcome of the facilitation to be an actual substantive expansion of the urban boundary. And that was not consistent, in my view, with the initial minister's letter. What you have before you is, I think, consistent, though, with the minister's letter insofar as he said, matters which have not yet been the subject of a public process shall not be part of the facilitation. And so what you've got here as an outcome of the facilitation is not a substantive decision on matters that have not been subject to a public process. You have a public process through which a decision will be made, and a substantive decision will be made at the end of the day. So while the initial letter had indicated ROPA 28 would be part of the discussion and the 2031 B and A population would not be, because there's no substantive outcome to this process, I think the parties were of the view that this was consistent with the minister's directive or intent behind the minister's letter, that there be a public process before a decision get made, and that because what you've got here is a process as opposed to a decision.
I guess I have a problem with the process.
Well, Councillor Groves, we're talking about this, and I think with respect for the public that are sitting here, we're talking about the amendment here.
And that's what I'm talking about is the amendment.
Then please address to it, because I mean, just out of fairness.
That is exactly what I'm talking about is with the amendment, and we're discussing the BRES and how the BRES ended up there, and that's the part that I have an issue with, where the minister was quite specific in what he stated that we could facilitate, and we're now dealing with BRES as part of this process, and I do have some concerns. The other concern that I have is that the proponents in BRES did request to be part of the facilitation process when they learned that BRES was being discussed in that process. Ms. Dill did not allow them the opportunity. So I have an issue with fairness. I have an issue with the process. I have an issue with this whole facilitation process, how it morphed into whatever it morphed into, and it totally moved away from what the intent was in the minister's letter. So I am very disappointed in how BRES got into that, and the proponents were excluded. So I don't think it's a fair process.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Mistapelli, do you have anything to talk about? Okay, to the motion.
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Mayor,
I think... If
I may.
Yes,
thank
please.
You. I'm sorry, Councillor. When I answered your question a moment ago, Councillor Groves, I didn't have the minister's letter in front of me, and so I've just pulled it up. You recall that the genesis of this was a letter from Mr. Melling to the minister saying there are four things we'd like to have facilitated. The relevant one is number four, that SOMAR has very serious concerns about the town's current application for a new ROPA to facilitate a residential expansion in Bolton. And the minister's response was the item referred to in item number four, that what I just read to you, is subject to an ongoing public process. And he encouraged the region of the town to consider facilitation with respect to items number two and three, which at the time were ROPA 28 and ROPA 29. And because the item number four and the minister's concern with item number four was that it was subject to an ongoing public process, what's come out of the facilitation will be an ongoing public process. And so it actually gets the process moving. So that was the, I think, the intent behind the reflection of what was in the minister's letter. And I'll just add parenthetically that, never mind, I'll leave it at that.
Okay, Councilor Mizzapelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. To the amendment, I'm wondering if I could ask staff if it would be useful. Personally, I think it would be. Whether it's taken as direction or whether it's actually formally included in this as an amendment, that because I don't think it should be left up to us to just, you know, choose whom we talk to or to gather information, would it be useful for staff to provide us with that information? We have two options here with respect to where we go, whether we accept the minutes of settlement. Again, I think ROPA 28 we agree with that moving forward. But as far as the BRES, the two options that the delegate talked about, the two paths that we can take, the pros and the cons in moving us forward, would that be useful in staff providing us this? If you go down Road A, this is what you could likely expect, Road B similarly, so that we have that information when we come back in 2 weeks to make this decision.
Mr. Mayor, to Councillor Mizzapelli. If council feels that that is necessary to come up with a decision on the proposal before you, obviously we will take that direction and provide that back to you as part of a report or possibly a memo. I guess we could do it as a memo to you in advance of the November 24th. So we would have no concerns in providing that information. From what I understand, it's the two paths of I'm trying to remember what his two paths were now, sorry. So, but are you looking for what that would mean and how it would kind of fall into place in the time frames and the board matters?
Is that well, I don't want to speak for council, but I'll speak for myself. And I've been very clear that I have supported the BRES process.
Yes,
so that is what, that's my long game.
Right.
And so we have a choice here. We can accept the minutes of settlement,
yes,
which puts us through this slightly altered process, yes, of an additional planning process,
right,
again, looking forward to how that will impact BRES, or we can deny or refuse the minutes of settlement, and how does that impact the BRES process going forward? I personally, as a councillor on this council, would like to know, because at the end of the day, that is still where I expect to be, and I'm looking at these two paths and saying, what takes me there? What takes this council there?
I would say, without giving you that advice, either of those paths will take you somewhere. It depends on the time, the effort, the cost, the staffing, et cetera. But both of those paths will end up somewhere possible, as long as the region makes a decision on BRES. You have a path and a direction in both cases. Am I not correct on that? Yeah. You're going to end up there eventually. It's just how you're going to end up there.
At the board.
And how long you want to take to get there, and the cost and the involvement to do that.
That's fine. It's again, I would like to see it,
sure,
laid out.
Yeah.
And
I think it would be good if you kind of gave us a little bit of direction on what that might be, unless we feel comfortable enough. I'm just, there's been a lot of discussion, so if you want to be clear on what you want from us, maybe we might want to craft something for us. I don't want to come back and give you the wrong information or inadequate information on your request.
Okay, and maybe I'm not being clear, and I apologize if I'm not.
I think I'm tired, too, so that's probably
another reason. Yeah, I think we all are, that's fair to say. Is I fully have supported what we've done up to this point, and I want to see that in the future.
Right.
And there's two ways we can get to wherever we're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I expect it to lead where we are today as far as BRES is concerned.
Right.
And we have a route where we can vote against the minutes of settlement.
That's right.
How does that affect us getting to BRES being reaching the same conclusion.
Sure.
Or we can agree to the minutes of settlement. How does that, what is the likelihood of that arriving at the conclusion of the Briguez process?
Okay. If that's the case, then I don't need direction. I understand what you want.
Okay.
Thank you.
Point of clarification, Ms. Hall. The points of settlement is on how the BRES has already been spelled out in 23 and 24.
Yes.
In the document, correct?
That's right.
So what difference is it going to be? I know I get a little chippy, too. It's been a long day for me as well. But
so you want to, sorry.
If I may, Mr. Mayor, I think it's fair to say that if you were to ask us to say what are the steps forward if we accept the minutes of settlement, you'll find that at pages 23 and 24 of the report. So that part of it is set out in terms of what the steps are going on a go forward. The steps are on a go forward basis.
Thank you.
If we don't, that it's not something that's in this report.
Councillor Misapelli, are you finished?
I would just respectfully add to that that I think it was clearly stated that, and it's not in the steps, that if we were to agree to the minutes of settlement, there would also be an appeal. That is what I understood. So okay. That needs
That's
to be in this.
That's a reasonable expectation, yeah.
Right.
There'll be appeal.
So I need to understand all the chips that are going to fall into place, whether we go through door A or door B, as to the best of our ability.
Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. I think, without trying to belabor it too long, there'd be an appeal either way. One would be maybe next year or a year after. The other one could be 4 years from now. I'm going to make a motion that we defer the entire issue so that we can get the information that we've asked from staff. It's been a long enough day. I think there's an opportunity to get more information rather than defer one piece of it. I think it's better to keep it all together as one complete document. Hoping that our partners in the facilitation allow us the opportunity and my colleagues the opportunity to kind of gather a bit more information.
Okay. Do I have a seconder for the deferral? Councillor McClure? All right. It's not debatable, so I'll call a vote. Recorded vote?
Thank you, Your Worship. A recorded vote has been called on the deferral of the entire matter. All those in favor, please stand. I see that everyone here in attendance is standing, so it's approved unanimously.
I take this will be back on the 24th, correct? Thank you. So, now what do I do? Yeah. Yes, so. Yeah. Yeah. We have some bylaws to do, and then we'll be adjourning the meeting. They can't do anything until we Now, this is.
Sit down on the. You don't have a seat.
Hold on. Okay. Okay. All right. Moved by Councillor Ennis, second by Councillor Downey, that the following bylaws be read first, second, and third time, and finally passed. bylaw 2015-087 to adopt the amendment 222 of the Town of Caledon official plan.
I'll declare a conflict on this because we have lands abutting these properties, so I'll sit in the crowd for this.
Okay. All in favor?
Carried.
This is the other one. All right, can I have a mover and a seconder of these motions? Councillor Innes and Councillor Shaughnessy. Moved by Councillor Innes, second by Councillor Shaughnessy. The following bylaws be read first, second, and third time and finally passed. Bylaw 2015-086 to amend the bylaw 214-054, the 2014 Townwide Development Charges Bylaw. Bylaw 2015-088 to amend the bylaw 2015-058, being the bylaw to regulate the use of highways and parking on highways and repeal the certain bylaws. Bylaw 2015-089 to amend fill bylaw 2007-59, being a bylaw to regulate the placing or dumping of fill and the alteration of grade on lands within the Town of Caledon. Bylaw 2015-090 to amend the bylaw 2010-129, being a bylaw to adopt Caledon Council Code of Conduct to establish the Office of the Integrity Commissioner. Bylaw 2015-091 to amend the bylaw 2015-012, 2015, fees and charges for services provided by the Town of Caledon in the planning applications. Bylaw 2015-092 to confirm the proceedings of the Town Council and the Corporation of the Town of Caledon in its meeting held the 26th day of October and the 10th day of November 2015. All in favor? Carried. Okay, adjournment. Moved by Councillor Groves, second by Councillor Befford. All in favor? Carried. Yep.
Nay.
Yes. Barb? Barb, you can't go home. So you sign that. That's tough with council, having to call. That's the big thing, you know. People just don't like having to make that decision, eh?
Thank you. Yeah, well, you